about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome to Face with Weird Al Yankovic. I'm the host of the show. By using transitive logic and deductive reasoning, you should now be able to figure out exactly who I am.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My name is Beer Mug. I'm kind of fat. My name is Beer Mug. How'd you like that?
I decided that was a terrible song.
I know, right?
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
How has life been for you up to today?
Oh, that is?
No. It looks kind of like Ryan Seacrest, though.
Gotta guess why I see Crest, man.
Nothing in particular. The guy just bugs the shit out of me.
And now.
That's not brown rice that is amazing. Do a little dance. Make a little laugh. Get down tonight.
Our feature presentation.
I'm with her. Everything she said, I agree with.
I think that's the way you live your life.
It is. Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
That famous Cool in the Gang song, right, Muggs?
Yep.
Cool in the Gang, and it wasn't them.
Not them. So much.
What's up, party people? Welcome in on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show.
What's happening?
Thank you.
What's happening is an interesting story, I think, about penny slots that are apparently the hottest thing in gambling these days. You ever play the penny slots? Anyone ever play the penny slots?
No. I don't play any slots, but I can't imagine the payoff on the penny slots are worth it. Yeah, I guess if you don't have a lot of money, like... Penny slots, you could make $20 last forever.
That's true. Right. The seniors love to go and play the slots.
Yeah.
If the goal is just cheap entertainment where you play all day, I guess that's the way to go.
Right.
You're probably smart to not play the slots because I think it's widely known. I mean, people play them because they're easy and they're entertaining or they like them for whatever reason, but they know that the odds are lower than playing the other more complicated games.
You know what else happens is you walk through a casino and you see all of the people playing the slots have been there for 8 hours and are just in a zone. They don't care about life. They're miserable. And you just go, I don't want to play that.
On average, casinos keep about 8% of the revenue earned on slots. So they, you know, they're paying back about 92%. But for penny slots, apparently they keep 11%. So it's the lowest odds even of the penny slot machines.
Wow.
But casinos are starting to put more and more of them in because, you know, it's more profit. It's more profitable for them.
Right.
And people are playing them. Well, the reason penny slots are in the news right now is the latest guy, and there have been a lot of them lately, who won over $1 million on a penny slot.
You're kidding. I didn't this think they ever paid
was
that
Was it
off.
Progressive?
This is a 51-year-old construction worker. At least if it was, it doesn't say so in this article. A 51-year-old construction worker who went to the it's called Jackson Rancherio. It's a casino 2 hours from Livermore, California in the Sierra foothills. So I guess this is in Northern California. Okay. He ended up winning $1.129 million. He says he ended up playing about $100 worth in the penny machine, by the way. Got as high up to $350 and as low as $45 at one point before he hit the $1 million jackpot.
Wow.
This article goes on to say, by the way, and it lists some of the other recent million-plus-dollar winners, including Dorothy Reynolds, a California woman who won $2.9 million at a Planet Hollywood penny slot in 2010, and an unidentified gambler who won $3.5 million on a one-cent Wheel of Fortune slot machine in Atlantic City last year.
I thought when penny slots hit... You made like $20.
Yeah, that would be, and that's a huge payoff for a penny slot. It must be a progressive one where it keeps building and building, but they don't tell you the other 6 billion people that are putting a penny in.
Obviously, to make that much money build up.
It may not be 6 billion, but yeah.
A dude's playing a penny slot machine in Atlantic City and wins $3.5 million.
That is shocking.
Well, USA Today says that penny slots are the only form of gambling that hasn't lost revenue during the recession and that Nevada casinos alone added over 7,000 machines the past 2 years.
Wow.
So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So if you're if you're putting your nose up in the air when you walk by the penny slot machines, maybe it's time to rethink it a little bit.
Does it spit it all out in pennies?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, I hope
you'd
not.
You'd be there for like 2 days.
Imagine if it killed you. Imagine if you won. The good news is you won $1 million. The bad news is on your head.
You got buried underneath a pile of pennies.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
Who knew, right?
That is shocking.
And wouldn't your first response be, okay, it can't be $1,000,002, so do I have to divide it by 100 for a dollar because I'm playing a penny? Like, there's no possible way it could actually be that.
Yeah, insane.
Wow, that's crazy.
Good to know.
Good to know. But they have the worst odds, though, Bean. Even though you have those three stories, they still have 11% advantage.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, on paper, don't give somebody a dollar if he guarantees to give you 89 cents back.
Right,
on
paper.
Unless you're one of the ones who, you know, gets lucky, I guess.
But if you, even if you're a card counter, say at blackjack, and you count cards, you might get a 1% advantage. Maybe the house has a 1% advantage.
Right, right.
Very, very low. 11% is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're saying it's the lowest odds of any game you can play.
Wow.
Just like the lottery is the lowest odds of any game you can play, unless you're the one.
Unless you're the one that wins.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Astonishing! This is not just a dream. It's a wet dream of orgasmic proportions.
Wow. I haven't even told you yet what it
is. I'm pretty excited about the show today.
How does he know? Adam Carolla will be here.
Yeah.
Talking about This Week in Rage. We're going to tell you a little bit more about the XXX, not the Three Stooges.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Matt Bunny Smith in the studio talking about sports.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey. Kings. Game 4 tonight. By the way, maybe
Lakers losing without Kobe.
Yeah, he's going to miss another game, too. Yeah. TSA agent Pat Downs. We talked about this some yesterday because Bar Raffaele in her Twitter account. Yeah, she's a Sports Illustrated supermodel. She apparently got felt up and not patted down, but felt up. So she was complaining about that. And they do seem to be quite thorough these days.
Oh, yeah.
And Lisa and I were talking about before you came in, it's getting to be a thing now. Another passenger yesterday, this time in Oregon, just took everything off. Just said, I'm being harassed. I don't like this. If you want to feel it. Here it is. I took
dude
off all of his clothes.
That's funny.
50-year-old dude just took everything off. Ended up missing his plane, by the way, Lisa.
I figured you're not going to see the light of day for a couple of days.
Yeah, they arrest
you
for that.
Do they?
Well, you're in public. It's indecent exposure, I would imagine.
But maybe this is the protest. Maybe this is the way to get them to back off as everybody starts doing it. What are they going to do? They can't arrest everybody.
You do it, and then I'll do it.
I don't want to. We'll follow your lead.
No, you do it, and then I'll do it.
They can't arrest everybody. It's funny. If you could talk an entire line into doing it, but there's no way you'd ever be able to do that. No possible way. I'd rather they be thorough than not thorough. Honestly.
No, I agree.
I mean, we also have Ian Usher, who is a guy who sold his life on eBay. Entire life.
I don't understand that.
Bean has more details on it as far as what he's done with the money that he had and how he's invested it and what he's
Well, that
come
was
up
what
with.
I was interesting about. Look, we talked about it at this time one day last week. It's one thing to sell your house, all of your possessions on eBay. That's one thing. I mean, that's a footnote. But the fact that he then decided, hey, I've got all this money and I have no obligations and nothing to tie me. I'm going to change my life. And he just went around the world and did everything from learned French to went dog sledding in Canada to everything he ever wanted to do.
Wow.
He went out and did.
That's awesome.
I mean, he just, like in 100 weeks, he did 93 of the 100 things that he wanted to do on his bucket list. You know, most people don't do all those things their whole lives. But it's just interesting to see the change in mind he had after he was free of his possessions. I just think that's fascinating. And, of course, now Disney's optioned it for a movie. He's got a book out. I mean, his whole life has changed.
That's crazy.
It's a great story.
Brand new citizen of the day.
I bet he's going to be a tool, don't you?
Oh, of course. Brand new diet that Muggs is thinking about. And this is the Bride's Feeding Tube Diet.
Oh, dear God.
It works.
They put a tube.
Of course it works.
They put a tube down your nose into your stomach.
And that, 20 pounds in, what was it, 10 pounds, 20 pounds in 10 days, right?
Yeah
20 pounds in 10 days. I mean, that's what Muggs needs to do to win this bet.
But is it worth it?
But you have to have a feeding tube in your nose
that
whole time.
That seems terrible.
Oh, for 10 days, though. And then you're 20 pounds lighter. I think Mug should do it.
If he, if he wants to cheat, can he suck up some alcohol through that tube?
Well, I mean, he can still eat. There's nothing in his mouth. But the thing is about the feeding tube is that you're not hungry. Because you're being fed like in a hospital. You know, you're not hungry. You don't want to eat. That's the beauty of it.
You don't want to do anything. You have a tube in your nose.
Yeah, there's that. And a 4-year-old Mensa member. F him. That's what I'm saying.
Her.
Or her. F her.
Cutest little 4-year-old with 159 IQ you'll ever see.
Tool,
right? That's what she's going to be. She's too smart for her age.
Absolutely.
Four. Imagine being her parents. Mom, that's factually not true.
She did learn to read in a year and a half. So, I mean, I'm sure that she was challenging.
The older Russian regime. Shut up. Eat your peas. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back, and we have the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It is the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock, FM. What just happened?
Huh?
Don't get up and walk out.
What? No, what just happened?
Come on, Ralph.
Oh, look at Ralph.
It was just a glitch.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's more than a glitch.
All right, that happened.
What were you thinking when you stood up and walked out, Ralph? Just that you don't have time for...
I was like, I was stunned. It's like watching someone have a stroke right in front of your eyes. You're shocked and dismayed.
Ralph, were you rushing to his attention?
I didn't know what to do. No. I was like, what just happened?
No, he had to get up and just walk around and get his head around it.
Yeah, I was like, man, that was crazy.
He had to walk off.
That wasn't just like screwing up a word. That was full blown like mental arrhythmia. His brain just shut down for a moment.
Burtation.
Strange to
watch.
It
was a heavy burtation.
Come
That's
on.
True.
How come everybody else gets to claim that?
It's a good point. Yeah. All right. Kevin and Bean Show with more tickets for you to be at the K-Rock Coachella house this weekend and see all the acts at Coachella. Big 3-day festival coming up again this weekend. You can win them at 9 o'clock this morning and then throughout the day. Details at krock.com. Ralph is here. If he doesn't get up and walk out, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat.
Good news for folks who listen to us from Glendale, California. You're about to get yourself a new mayor, porn star Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yay! That's exciting.
She wants to run for mayor of Glendale.
That is awesome.
Yeah, this comes from an unaired clip from Sunday's episode of Chloe and Lamar, where Kim and Chloe are driving around Dallas and they see the Ross Perot Museum. Who knew that Ross Perot, by the way, had his own museum?
That's weird.
Yeah. So Kim starts talking about how she plans to run for mayor of Glendale, California. I decided I'm going to run for mayor of Glendale.
Glendale!
I have to buy a house there. Noelle and I are, like, looking at all the requirements. Because it's like Armenian town. Apparently because Kim Kardashian is of Armenian descent, she thinks she can go to Glendale and just win the election. Because there's lots of Armenians living
there. I think she would win.
You do?
Really?
I do, yes.
Really?
Why do you say that?
Because she's apparently very popular. And how popular must she be with Armenians as the most famous Armenian in the world?
Right, but then they have one debate, which I can't wait for if they have a debate. I'll go to personally. She will just fall apart.
Well,
yeah, I don't think anybody's going to vote for her for mayor just because they like to look
at
her.
You can't
fans.
Run for mayor anyway in Glendale, as we found out yesterday when this story came out. I mean, that, you know, it's one of those deals where you're on the city council and everybody gets a rotation for a year, you know, and you have to. So, I mean, she can't run for mayor anyway, but I think people would vote for her. Absolutely.
Imagine there's already a mayor that they like very much.
I would vote for her.
That they locally know.
Out of comedy. I mean, I think it would be great for us.
Sure.
But not Glendale.
Can you be immune from charges of racism simply because you're of the same race? Like, for her to say, that's like Armenian town. If anyone said, Glendale, that's Armenian town... The Armenians would be up in arms, banging on their door with pitchforks and torches.
Probably.
It's sort of a slam to say Glendale can be boiled down to just its Armenian population.
And that they would all vote for her because they're Armenian
right.
as well.
Like yeah, they wouldn't take into consideration anything about her skills or ability to be mayor, even if you could run for it in that position.
Yeah, I love it. I would vote for her. I'd move there and vote for her.
You have your head up your ass.
Apparently she does.
You don't think I feel bad?
No, you don't feel bad about anything, and you should feel bad about everything.
How does a person like her get to that decision?
I think she just thought, hey, there over there is somebody who's famous for something else that I'm not famous for. I should be famous for that, too. She just wants more, hey, look at me. That's all it is. It's another way she can think that people want to look like her or be with her or whatever.
I'm all excited, brothers.
Yeah, he'd vote for her.
He would.
The fact that he can vote makes me doubt the system.
This is an interesting lawsuit. A group of Nashville residents have threatened to file a class action lawsuit against ABC because they claim in the 23 seasons of the shows The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, there's never been a person of color as The Bachelor or Bachelorette on that show.
Oh.
I'm shocked by that.
Is that true?
As far as being The Bachelor or Bachelorette, the linchpin, the crux of the show,
oh,
I can't remember anyone ever being of color.
But cast members?
I think there have been cast members that are just variations on Caucasian. You know, I can't remember any specifically remember any black or Hispanic contestants, but I know there haven't been any The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, the lead person. I can't remember being a fan.
I've always been shocked by that, Ralph, honestly.
Okay.
No, maybe I shouldn't be, but
Bean
I...
Bean has been shocked.
I was.
Here
but,
we go.
I mean,
it's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
I mean, ABC must just think... That's not our audience. The ratings are not going to be as good. That's the only explanation, right? The ratings are not going to be as good if we don't have a white bachelor or bachelorette.
Sure.
Or
a show like that, I think you're looking for resonance with your audience. You know, someone has you have to be able to look at that person and say, "Oh, that's me. I'm reflected in that." Especially in a romance thing with a largely based female audience, I think they need to be able to associate themselves with that. And if you're looking for, you know, the majority of people who watch those sort of programs, I think you probably would go with a white contestant. I don't think it's racially motivated. I just think it's purely business.
Right.
Is it not possible that it's just happened? It's just,
I don't know, 23 times in a row just seems odd.
Yeah, they've made a decision at some point.
I think it sounds like, it feels like they've made a decision, but who knows? It could just be.
What show is it?
The Bachelor.
Yeah, I don't care.
And or The Bachelorette.
I know you do, though.
I never noticed. I guess you notice more if you're the person being excluded than the person being included. You know, I guess maybe black and Hispanic viewers would notice more so. But
there's a lot of white guys right there, man. A lot of white guys with leather jackets, so you've always been comfortable there.
Ralph wears the leather jacket a lot.
See?
It's that's behind the scenes.
Bean's referencing.
To that.
Yeah. Disney rides being turned into movies.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Coming to a theater near you.
Tim Burton doing it?
No word on who's going to be directing.
It's important.
But they have taken one of their rides and they're developing a film around it. Apparently the guy who did Tron Legacy has been tapped to turn the ride into a film.
That's a terrible idea.
Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't jump out at you as like a great idea for a movie. Then again, that's what they said about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's what we
huge.
Said about Pirates of the Caribbean.
So what do we know? Of course, they've got the Haunted Mansion also in the works with Guillermo del Toro. He's going to be working on that.
And that's this a terrible idea.
That's not a terrible idea. That's a great idea.
No.
Haunted Mansion. But this article made me sad because as I was reading the article, the writer says there's also a plan to turn the Disney ride 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea into a movie as well.
That is sad.
Why?
Because long before it was a ride in Disneyland, it was a novel. It was a book by author Jules Verne, who wrote the book that Disney then did a movie about, and then that movie led to the theme park ride. So to say that they're making a movie based on a theme park ride is really saying, oh, Jules Verne book never existed.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. But that's where we are, people. We got Kim Kardashian running for a mayor that doesn't exist, and we've got people forgetting that there used to be books written about things. What are you going to do, huh?
What are you going to do?
Get me a black bachelor. That's all I care about.
Where's the outrage there?
Today's celebrity birthday is James Woods, is 65 years old today. Very, very talented actor.
So good.
Rick Moranis turns 59. Eric Roberts is 56. Conan O'Brien is 49 years old today. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace celebrates his 49th birthday as well. Maria Bello is 45 years old.
Is that an abrupt end?
Bellis interruptus right there. Eli Roth is 40 years old.
White meat. Dark. All will be carved.
Where's that? Where's that movie, Eli?
Yeah, no kidding.
Where's Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Melissa Joan Hart is 36 years old. Kourtney Kardashian is 33. America Ferrera, who is Ugly Betty, 28 years old. And Rosie Huntington Whiteley.
Yes.
Celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Sounded like you were going to say something else.
It did.
To me, too. And then I realized I had nothing else.
Kevin, I feel badly for you here. I think about how tough it must be to be you and to go through your life and to survive and get dressed in the morning and find your keys and
drive to work and raise a family. And then I see a story like this that we're about to talk about little Heidi Hankins, and I think, well, this is just piling on. This is just sad at this point.
Is this a joke? I mean, are they doing this to make people like me feel bad?
No, it's just a real news story, and I don't really understand very much about how Mensa works. That's the organization. I guess it's for super smart people that test at a certain IQ level. I don't really even understand how IQ works because she's 4. So it's not like they gave her the same test they gave high schoolers and found out that she scored well on it. I mean, she's 4, right?
Mensa is an organization that only allows people in the top 2% of IQ points in.
Mm-hmm.
This 4-year-old has been let in.
Wow.
Yes, she has an IQ of 159, which is just below Albert Einstein. 100 is considered average. And she's just one of these kids who, learned to read. I mean, she learned to read at 1.5 years. She had a good vocabulary and was speaking well at 1, for instance. Her father says that he bought her the complete Oxford Reading Tree books when she was 2, and she read through the entire set of them in about an hour. In other words, about what you'd expect a 7-year-old to do in terms of reading comprehension. And it just goes on and on and on with all this stuff that this kid does. She's 4 years old. Like, what's up with this?
You have her on the phone if you want to talk to her. King of Mexico.
What? Little Heidi?
Yes.
Little Heidi's on the line with us right now? Yeah. Heidi Hankins? Hi, Heidi. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations on being a Mensa member.
Thank you. It's very nice of you, and I appreciate it.
Okay. What does it mean? I mean, what do you do in Mensa? What's does responsibility come with that, or meetings, or a parade, or an outfit, or what do you get?
Yeah, you get a parade and an outfit. I'm just teasing. The best part of being in Mensa is you don't have to hang out with people if ask if you get a parade or an outfit.
Yeah,
you can avoid
that group. I withdraw the question.
You
I am not in the group.
Smart people.
Yeah,
and we all
right.
get together in meetings.
Oh, you have meetings, okay? And then what do? You just talk about how smart you are?
No, we talk about things that interest us, like science, and about reading the books we've been reading, and we just share it with each other.
Okay. What kind of books do you like at age 4?
Mostly pornography.
Sorry,
geography.
Geography. Oh. It's different.
Read that wrong.
Very big difference.
Right.
Write that down here. I'm sorry, I'm busy and you're interrupting me, so I'm a little distracted.
What's happening? Because I hear it sounds like maybe a bath in the background.
No, it's not a bath. Whirlpool. I'm working on stem cell research right now.
Stem cell research.
I'm having a problem with the cellular degeneration of the blastocyst. You know, when you get zygotic separation, it's hard sometimes to keep the cellular construction in regiment form.
Can you dumb that down for us?
Heidi, do things very, very smart, good things.
Right, okay, that I got.
Okay, now I got it.
Twit.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up, Heidi?
Not bored by people like you.
You don't have to have an attitude.
I'm so tired of people like you calling me up. Oh, you're so smart, Heidi. Can we talk to you? Yeah, you can talk to me, but you won't understand what I'm saying, will you? Because you're freaking stupid.
Okay, but you don't have to be an a-hole just because you're smart.
You don't have to be an a-hole because you're dumb, but that's just the way things work out, isn't it?
I don't think I have a choice.
No, you don't, and nor do I. Only my problem is I'm so much more painfully aware how stupid you are.
Like fun at all.
It isn't fun for me, trust me, because all I do is talk to Neanderthals like you all day long. Ooh, do you get a parade or an outfit? And I try to be nice, and I try to sound like a 4-year-old, but you're just so bloody dumb.
Well, it's hard to argue.
I'm sorry, I just went poopy in my pants.
Oh. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll talk to Mr. Ian Usher, the man who sold his life on eBay after getting divorced, then found love and bought a Caribbean island. So that's a story that ends happily ever after. That's on the way. Plus, how you can lose 20 pounds in 10 days with the new feeding tube diet. It's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I don't know how this happens, but it seems to a lot where people get arrested over and over and over and over again for DUI. And wouldn't you think, like, at some point they take away the car?
Yeah, they take away your license. They get in cars anyway. They can take away your license. But
I know that some states are trying to tighten that up so that you can't have 7 DUIs. I mean, there are some places where they're trying to now say, hey, second time, you lose your license forever and go to jail for, you know, some amazing amount of time that really is going to make an impact, 10 years or something like that. And I think they should do that.
I do, too.
Once can be a mistake. Twice, though, you're just not smart.
Right. Even once isn't okay, but, you know, you can't really take away a car. But this guy that I'm about to tell you about, 44-year-old, was booked for the 8th time for driving while intoxicated.
Come on.
Under the influence. And what happened was a cop pulled him over on a bridge, and he got out, and then the cop took his license and went back to check on it in the car. And when the cop looked up, the guy was on the edge of the bridge and jumped.
Oh, my gosh.
He jumped to get away from it. Oh. It was about 40 feet down. He was fine. He hit the water and just disappeared. They had to search for him for an hour and a half.
Oh, my God. You know, when you're drunk, you're just all flippity-floppy and you don't break anything.
Right.
Or
you're fine. No worries.
You just bounce.
So he just said, I'm out. Late.
Wow.
Jumped right off the bridge. Can you imagine being the police officer going, whoa, wait.
I would imagine you'd think he's dead, like he drowned.
Absolutely. Impressive, actually.
They found him an hour and a half later and gave him his 8th DWI. DUI, I guess what we call it. So that's Citizen of the Day number one. Yeah. Citizen of the Day number two is a judge. And you don't hear a lot of stories involving judges, but this particular one involves a judge pulling a gun.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really bizarre. Here's what it is. Wednesday, during a bond hearing and a request for a temporary protective order. So this is somebody who's being stalked.
Okay.
Against a guy, a sheriff's deputy, who was recently arrested on a number of charges, including rape, aggravated assault, and a handgun.
Wow.
Apparently, the woman filed charges. She was on the witness stand, and she was doing a terrible job of being a witness for herself. So the judge, and I don't know if you guys know this because I didn't, who are all allowed to bring a gun to court.
Where is this?
I did not know that.
Where is this? It's North Georgia.
It must be in Georgia. I mean, judges here aren't allowed to bring guns.
Judges are allowed to bring guns to court.
Really?
Yes. So the judge then, the woman who was giving really, really terrible testimony, the judge said to her that she was, quote, killing her case, and pulled out his gun and offered it to her and said, you might as well shoot your lawyer. So then the lawyer said, hey, Your Honor, how about putting the gun away? Since this is a case where the woman's already terrified.
Oh, man.
So he put the gun away, and apparently they looked into it, and no further action was taken.
Really? He wasn't charged or anything?
It's legal to have the gun. It's just not legal to point it at somebody in the
right.
court. And he didn't technically point it at anybody. He was acting like he was offering her
the
gun.
He tried to hand it to somebody.
Yes.
So they could shoot somebody else.
So they could shoot somebody else, right. Not him.
So that's
point
fine.
Made.
So that's Citizen of the Day number two. Citizen of the Day number three is my favorite. Silver-haired, sweet-faced Darlene Mays. You know, I look I'm not a big fan of the old people. They bug me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman in Oklahoma who is 87 years old.
I love her so much already.
87 years old. And I have the audio for this story, but she is a drug kingpin.
Really?
Oh!
The story of a grandma who the cops say knitted together a quilt of narcotics networks across the plains.
See what they did? A quilt of narcotics across the plains. So she's in Oklahoma, and as you'll hear, she expands her territory outside of Oklahoma.
The 73-year-old Darlene Mays looks like many grannies, but police say this is the face of one of Oklahoma's biggest drug kingpins. And according to police reports, Grandma Mays packs a semi-automatic pistol and a revolver.
Semi-automatic pistol and a revolver, just in case she needs it for protection. I said 82. I believe she's 73, yeah.
Her alleged pot-dealing network spanning four states.
Four states!
You go, Grandma.
She was the lead pot dealer in four states.
That's an empire right there.
Are you kidding me?
Police believe she supplied up to 40% of the marijuana in this area. Her operation went up in smoke this week when police entered her home and found 4 pounds of pot and $276,000 cash. As the mastermind, police say she had a network of dealers working for her.
Who were they, the network of dealers? Were they local thug kids?
Were they?
Law enforcement experts say harmless-looking seniors can sometimes be the most efficient drug dealers.
If they keep a low profile, they don't talk to many people, and they don't get greedy, they can go on for years.
Yes, she used old people.
They were supplementing their Medicare, Kevin.
Yes. This old guy with a walker would walk up to your door, probably took him a half hour, and then he'd offer you some weed.
Awesome. But the police driving by would never look twice at that dude.
Right, exactly.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Would you like some pot?
Police believe she may have been the drug ringleader for as long as 20 years.
Or maybe 50. Who knows?
Who knows? $276,000 in cash,
wow.
Weapons, and weed, and she supplied 40% for four states.
I'm surprised that didn't end in a shootout with Grandma Mays just blazing.
I wonder if she has grandkids. How great would that be? Mom, can we go to Grandma's house? She's got a lot of fun stuff. Again, right?
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, citizens.
They don't hide their love of the cowbell there, do they?
They don't.
Flaunt it. It is right out in front right there.
And I love it.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. As Weird Al reminds us, you can buy just about anything on eBay.
What I bought on eBay. Tell me why. I need another pet rock. Tell me why. I got that alpha alarm clock. Tell me why. I bid on Shatner's old toupee. They had it on eBay.
Ian Usher is a guy who sold virtually everything he owned on eBay, his house and all of its contents. He kept out, I guess, one change of clothes and a backpack and his passport. And that was it. Hit the road. And he has had a fascinating life in the years since that happened. Ian joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Usher. How are you, dude?
Morning.
Hello, Ian.
Sorry, there's a little bit of an echo. Hi, you there?
Hello there.
Hi.
There you are.
Hey,
What year was it you sold all your possessions on eBay?
I put everything up for sale in the middle of 2008.
2008, all right.
All right, and why was that? I understand that you were at a place in your life where you felt like you were ready to make a change.
I was, yes. I'm from England originally, but I'd moved to Australia with my wife 5 years earlier. Our marriage ended, unfortunately. And I found myself the owner of a house and all the belongings in that house that we sort of created this life together. And for me, it was just part of the moving on process that the house and the belongings had to go. And the next chapter of my life had to start, I think.
Well, what's weird is most people would sell the house or whatever, but then they would get another house and move on and have a normal life. But you took the money and made a list of 100 things you wanted to do and just set out to do all of them.
I did, yes. There was so much publicity about the whole eBay life for sale thing. And I was asked so many times in interviews, what will you do once it's sold life? What do you want to do? And I didn't really know. I didn't have a decent answer. So I started making lists of things that I wanted to do and places I wanted to go and people I wanted to meet and so on. And that just sort of developed and grew into this huge list.
Yeah.
Set myself a time challenge, and it became 100 goals in 100 weeks.
It must be incredibly freeing when you're out of the marriage, you're single, so you're unencumbered that way, and then you have enough money in your back pocket that you don't have to worry about making a living, you don't have to have a job, and you can literally, if you have a passport and are in good health, go anywhere in the world and do anything you want. I mean, how did you know where to start? What did you do first?
It is incredibly liberating, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was living in Perth in Western Australia,
mm-hmm.
and I set off from there, heading initially to Europe, but on the way I stopped in Dubai, and the first goal I achieved was skiing on the great big indoor ski slope I have in a shopping mall in
Yeah, that
Dubai.
Looks pretty cool. Indoor skiing when it's 150 outside is an odd thing.
So all these places around the world that you had read about, Ian, you said, hey, I want to climb that mountain or river raft down that river or go on a dog sled ride in that country, and you could just go anywhere and do anything. How long did the money last?
Well, I'm still sort of dribbling by on what I tried to make the money last as long as possible, and it got me through 2 years of travel. There was a little bit left over, but I've been helped along the way. I was incredibly lucky because of the publicity I got at the start. There was an interest from movie producers, and I actually had the option over the movie rights was bought by Walt Disney. So I've been happily frittering away Disney's money as well as I've traveled.
Wait a minute. You got an offer from Disney for your life story before you had finished your travels?
They were interested in it long before I even knew I was going to do the travels. They were interested in the story of a heartbroken divorced man who decides to put his whole life up for sale on eBay.
Oh, I see.
And that's the story they bought long before the travels even started.
I see. I got you.
How about that? You visited Mount Everest. You didn't climb it, though, did you, Ian?
No, I wanted to go to Everest Base Camp. It's a tough enough trek. I think it's 18,000 and some feet just to get up to Everest Base Camp, which is where all the expeditions base themselves for the climbing season. It's a beautiful, stunningly beautiful place.
Yeah.
But it's quite a tough journey. It's a two-week job just to get to base camp and back.
Yeah, I've heard it's way, way, way high itself, and you have to stay there for a long time to kind of get acclimated. But when you're that close, and you're at base camp, and you see the mountain, and everybody around you is going up, how do you not think, hey, maybe I should try to climb it?
Well, I guess I don't know whether I have the skills, the fitness, and certainly didn't have the equipment that I would need to do it. But you can certainly see when you get there, you can see what it is about the place that makes people want to do it. You know, there's a real mystique about it, and I completely understand what would make someone go, I'm going to climb up to the top of that thing there.
Here's what I love about you, Kevin, is we've got Ian Usher on the phone, who has done it all. I mean, he's been running with the bulls, and he's dived with the great white sharks, and he learned how to fly, taught himself French. You're ragging on him for not finishing one job.
Well, no, I'm saying he's going to base camp. That's really extreme already.
Right.
So you're at base camp. That's like you're driving NASCAR, and you get most of the way there, and you go, I don't need to finish the cross line to win the race. I just stop right here. I'm good.
Ian has a book out, by the way, called A Life Sold is available at Amazon.com. Did you meet another woman in the course of your travels? Have you given love another try, Ian?
Or women?
I did, yes. I guess that's is a bit of an unwritten subtext. That, you know, a guy who's divorced and sets off traveling on his own, there's an unwritten subtext there that maybe meeting someone else and having a new happiness come into my life is part of the goal, and I did write about that at some length in the book. The book is a much more personal telling of the story than anything I ever put on the blog. So when I got to Canada, I went dog sledding in the wilderness and was invited by Rory Morrow, my partner now, to come and try dog sledding, and we got on pretty good when we got together.
Fantastic.
Do you have a woman on every continent?
Not anymore, I don't.
Not anymore.
All right. Before we say goodbye to you, Ian, and again, the book is called A Life Sold if you want to look it up, and you can check out Ian's website at ianusher.com. Are you settled down now? Have you gotten the traveling out of your system and you're living a more normal life, or have you latched on to something nomadic now that you're going to have trouble giving up?
Well, there's certainly an element of the travel bug. Once it bites, it's difficult to shake off. I actually now find myself living in Panama. This is going to sound slightly eccentric, but I bought myself a Caribbean island off the coast of Panama.
You bought an island?
And I'm now... Yes, I did, yes.
Your own island. So now you own an island by yourself.
I do, yes. Mo and she's got two kids, two great kids. They were down here for 3 months, avoiding Canada's winter. So they were here December, January, February. And are coming back down, I hope are coming back down for next winter. But in the meantime, I'm building a house and developing the island and planting coconuts and pineapples and so on. And
inviting women from all over the world to your own private island. You're the smartest man alive.
So that's what Ian Usher is up to today, is working on planting coconuts on his private island in Panama. What are we doing with our lives? Unbelievable. IanUsher.com on Twitter at A Life Sold, and the book is also called A Life Sold. We'll be looking for the major motion picture coming soon. Ian, thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on.
Feeding Tube Diet coming up after the top of the hour. Then Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show will join us. You know, the Detroit, I think, beat Cleveland last night by something like 40 points. Did you guys hear about that?
Wow.
I think it was 116-70 or something ridiculous like that.
In baseball?
No, this was basketball.
I know, I'm just kidding. Basketball.
It's a joke. So, anyway, a lot of sports obviously going on right now with the NBA playoffs just around, NHL playoffs in progress now, and the start of the baseball season as well. So money's coming up. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now on the Kevin Bean Show.
Yeah, looks like a rock and roller Ted Nugent is a little bit of trouble with the Secret Service.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. He earned himself a little scrutiny over the weekend, saying that if Barack Obama is reelected, he will be dead or in jail by this time next year.
Who?
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent will be? Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. They frown on that kind of talk, turns out, the Secret Service. He also said that the Democrats need to have their heads chopped off in November. I don't know whether he meant that literally or figuratively.
Figuratively, I imagine.
Still, again, it's the verbiage that catches people's attention sometimes when you're talking in a public forum.
Yeah.
Saying that Obama and his administration are coyotes that need to be shot.
Jeez.
Like varmints.
All right, take
really
it easy.
Really on fire.
Basically.
Pick an animal and stick with it.
A lot of shooting and a lot of animals, that's all I know. So.
Well, he's quite a hunter and quite a gun enthusiast.
He
know
loves
that about
guns.
Ted.
Boy, does he love guns.
He loves those guns.
He was speaking at an NRA convention and at a gun show on the radio, and he made some of these comments, and some of them made on another radio station. He just keeps repeating them over and over again.
Yeah.
So. The funny about Ted Nugent, you know, he crapped himself in order to avoid getting drafted into Vietnam.
No.
Is that
Did you
true?
Hear the story? He's a huge draft dodger.
No, I didn't know that.
He got two college deferments in the 60s. While he was on the road playing rock and roll, he claimed he was in college so he could get the student deferments.
Right.
And then when he went to his draft board, he didn't. He crapped and peed himself for like weeks leading up to it. So when he went in, they would think he was mentally unstable.
Wow.
And so he got a Section 8.
I'd like to suggest he is mentally unstable.
That's very possible. But I was thinking, for a guy who loves guns as much as he does, he sure didn't want to pick one up and go fight in Vietnam.
No kidding.
He wants to go out and kill Bambi. He doesn't want to have anyone shooting back at him, apparently. That's the issue with Ted. Always made me laugh. More details about this bachelor suit we were talking about an hour ago. ABC's The Bachelor expected to be sued for racial discrimination. I mentioned the fact that there were people in Nashville who said they were suing because The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they've never had a bachelor or bachelorette of color. There have been other participants in the show of color, but not a bachelor or bachelorette. Turns out the two people who are suing are two gentlemen who auditioned for The Bachelorette.
It's getting shakier.
And they claim that they were dismissed out of hand because they were both non-white.
That's bullshit.
Well, it might be true.
It may be.
I mean, there's no way to know if they would be.
It's two contestants that wanted
regardless.
To be. Couldn't there be 100 other reasons why they weren't picked? They can only pick one.
But it is interesting. It's striking that there haven't been any of color.
Yeah. The producers say that when they go to do these casting sessions, for whatever reason, for the majority of people who come out for the casting sessions are white.
Yeah.
So they don't get a lot of people of different ethnicities auditioning in the first place. And it's also possible that if these guys were auditioning to be contestants for a bachelorette, the bachelorette also gets able to say what kind of man that she's interested in, and then they try to fill that slot with whatever her preferences are, too. So if she's white, she may not want to date black or Hispanic guys or whatever. So it gets complicated, but it looks like there will be a lawsuit. So they got some splaining to do over
they
at the
do.
Bachelorette, and I'm just
why is
upset.
There not a why hasn't like BET or somebody put on their own show, The Blackchiller? I mean, it seems like it's a popular dating format. It seems like they could do something like that.
Maybe not with that name, though, right?
No, perhaps not that name. I'm just, you know, workshopping here, but I'm just saying.
You know, you don't workshop.
Make a note.
On the air.
Next time.
A workshop. In your workshop, perhaps. Maybe you should get yourself a workshop and keep all your workshopping for that area. less here.
Understood.
How about a Rockford Files movie? Rockford Files, one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Never seen it.
You've never seen the Rockford Files?
James Garner?
I know what it is. I've never seen it.
You don't know what it is, obviously. Or if you knew what it was, you would watch it.
I know.
It's so your kind of show.
Is it on?
It's one of the greatest cop detective shows ever on television.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, Kevin. You endlessly disappoint.
I'm consistent.
Yeah, I think you would like it, Kevin. I mean, he's a super likable guy who gets beat up all the time.
Funny, clever show, smart, wildly entertaining.
Where is it showing? What
it's
channel?
Showing in my ass. Please,
oh,
please come on in and
TV
watch.
TV Land or something? Or?
It's an old show, right?
Yeah, they rerun it someplace. I don't know.
Got too much to do.
Somebody like TV Land, yeah.
Anyway, there was supposed to be a reboot. They were going to do a new TV version with Dermot Mulroney, apparently, was going to be the star of it. David Shore, the man who created House, was going to reboot The Rockford Files. That did not work out, so now they're going to do a big screen version, apparently. Universal Pictures working on a big screen version of the James Garner TV series with Vince Vaughn as Rockford, the private eye who lives in a trailer on the beach.
I love Vince Vaughn.
You know, it's really good casting.
Yeah,
that character and that actor, that's a pretty good match. He would make a good Jim Rockford. So,
yeah, that's the theme. Come on, bring it home.
This is the TV theme?
Oh, wait for this. It gets better, right? Ready? Two, three, one.
Starsky and Hutch. It seems all like right, they made quite a few of those cop shows from the 70s into, you know, big screen, so why not?
I think Vince Vaughn would be good.
I think it'd be good, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is James Woods is 65 years old today. Actor Rick Moranis celebrates his 59th birthday. Eric Roberts is 56. My co-star in Sharktopus, by the way, Eric Roberts. Conan O'Brien turns 49 years old today, as does Eric McCormick of Will and Grace fame. Maria Bello is 45 years old. Eli Roth, writer and director and actor, turns 40 years old. Kourtney Kardashian's 33. America Ferrera, who was Ugly Betty on television, is 28. And Rosie Huntington-Whiteley celebrates her 25th birthday today. No, she's going out with Jason Statham.
Happy birthday, Rosie.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to take you for a ride. Get in the trunk.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Speaking of Green Day, by the way, did you guys see, you watching Nurse Jackie this season? Came back on, I think, Showtime?
I just watched the first episode. I love that show.
I didn't watch it, but I heard he was on it.
Billy Joe Armstrong plays I don't want to give anything away if you haven't seen it yet, but he plays somebody who comes in contact, a drug-related friend that comes in contact with Nurse Jackie, and he's very good on the show. I never really had seen him act before. He's really, really good.
This is making me laugh because when we watched it, we said, that looks just like, but I didn't actually know
it was him.
He was really good.
He's great. Uh-huh. All right. Welcome into the Kevin Beach Show. Matt Money Smith joins us in minutes to talk sports. Right now, though, this is a breakthrough not only for our man Beer Mug, who is going to be down $200 in credits, not actual cash, because we wouldn't bet because that would be illegal, based on a bet that he made about how much weight he was going to lose by June 1st. And he's not going to make it. We can all agree on that, right? He is not on a pace to win that bet.
That's correct.
At least he wasn't until the feeding tube diet came to our attention, which apparently is all the rage. I don't know whether it started in Florida like all great ideas, but that's where this doctor is, who describes the benefits of the feeding tube diet. And yes, this is where they put a tube in your nose, just like when you're in the hospital and can't eat. And there's nothing but benefits with this program.
Patients literally burn 2 pounds of fat per day for 10 days. That's a total of 20 pounds in 10 days. In over 100,000 patients that were treated in Europe, nearly everyone lost 20 pounds.
How did 100,000 people already do this diet and I haven't heard about it until this week?
I guess they were clinical trials.
They
or
did
something.
It in Europe. But what do you do when you go out? I mean, you have to thing in
you
your
wear
nose.
It, you put it. You put a tube. You know, just like old people that you see, you have to carry the oxygen around with them that have the tube in their nose.
Disgusting.
But isn't it something that honestly it would seem weird the first time you saw somebody with a tube in their nose, but then you just get used to it and you wouldn't really pay any attention to it?
I don't
think it's that distracting.
Nope, that would be super distracting.
That isn't good for you.
All right, let's find out more.
Or 1% of their body weight. It's absolutely painless. The state of ketosis causes no pain. And in fact, when you're in ketosis, you feel no hunger and no appetite.
How's that sound to you, Muggs? You lose 20 pounds in 10 days. You feel no pain, no hunger, no appetite.
Oh, it sounds good. That's fantastic.
Are you eating right now?
Yes, he is. He has a mouthful.
Having a meatball sub right
I just
now?
Turned around to look at him when you addressed him. And he looked at me like, uh-oh, I just took a bite.
The treatment is absolutely safe, but remember, being overweight is a significant risk to your health, so it's imperative that you try and lose weight at all costs. The treatment in itself has no danger. When you're in ketosis, you feel no hunger and no appetite.
Kevin, you're a doctor. Why is it you don't think it's safe?
It's
for a short amount of time.
For a short amount of time, but then what do you do?
Because you were unable to lose the weight until you put the tube in your nose. Mm-hmm. Now you lose the 20 pounds. Now what do you do when you take it out?
You get married, and then you get fat.
And then you get fat again.
But isn't that true of all diets? People are dedicated to their diet and their exercise program until they lose the weight, and then the real challenge for the rest of your life is trying to maintain. I mean, that's true of every diet.
Right, but maintaining in this case is much harder than maintaining in a regular, where you're out exercising and eating and stuff. You got to put a tube back down.
Most of our patients never feel hungry throughout the 10-day period of this diet. At the end of the 10-day treatment, we will reweigh you, do another DEXA scan to measure the percentage fat in your body and its reduction. But it's important after the diet to continue on the low-carbohydrate diet.
So once you've gotten down to the weight that you want to be, that's when you start just maintaining by developing some good habits, I guess, is what the doctor
says. Oh, I see. Then you just kick in with the good habits that you were unable to do your whole life.
Right, but the good habits that aren't working fast enough for you to lose weight, especially in this case when you have a deadline like Beer Mug does with his bet, or a bride would for her wedding. All right, do we have time? Can I play a little bit more audio? That's from the doctor.
Now I'd like to just point out the doctor was also talking over smooth jazz. And I don't trust any doctor that uses smooth jazz.
I think that's very wise of you. So here's how they reported this on the news also in Florida. And they do talk to some people maybe who aren't as thrilled with the idea of the feeding tube diet as the doctor was.
Blushing brides on their wedding day. Most look absolutely gorgeous, but how do they get so fab? In some cases, it is more than a great dress. It's what they're doing to get into that dress.
I would say that's pretty crazy.
Seems pretty ridiculous.
And I can't imagine that's healthy either.
So they're talking to all the haters, by the way, who aren't doing the feeding tube diet, and all of a sudden they're just all like high and mighty about, ooh, sure, it's bad, ooh, you shouldn't do it. Right?
But what about you being fat, woman?
It's the newest fad diet to hit the United States. See for yourself. It's not just brides using it, though. Women, even men, are using a feeding tube to lose weight.
That's pretty crazy, I would say, to have only, you know, your only source of sustenance be the feeding tube.
Good old-fashioned exercise isn't part of the plan. This outrageous diet promises to shed up to 20 pounds in just 10 days, all in a plastic bag you can carry around, funneling a zero-carb solution to your stomach through a feeding tube.
I love it. Let me just go on record and say I support it. I think it's a great
nose
idea.
What a terrible idea.
What do you mean, have a tube down your nose?
Look,
so what?
You know my feeling on wedding photos. Everyone does it wrong. Everyone. You have to let yourself go. Be fat. Take your wedding photos the rest of your life. People will look at the wedding photos, they'll look at you and go, you look great. Instead, you do it the other way, where you get in great shape, and then everybody compares and they go, well, he's put on some pounds.
He really let yourself go.
She really ballooned up.
The one thing I don't know
why. I'm Dick Cheney.
I don't either. The one thing I don't know is how much this costs. Like, if it's inexpensive, Beer Mug could do this and still make some money on the deal. But if it's going to cost him more than the $200 he'll lose for losing the bet, I don't know that it's worth it to him. Unless the goal here is just to lose 20 pounds. If you want to lose 20 pounds, Beer Mug, I think we found the answer for you, dude.
I don't know.
Tube down the nose.
I think I'd be feeling pretty crappy the whole day. Or the whole 10 days.
The whole 10 days. Yeah. I do, too.
Right. But Bean's saying, do you want to win the bet or not? Because I got news for you. You're not on pace.
Definitely want to win the bet, but okay. It's going to be worth it. It's going to cost more than what I'm going to win.
Okay. Everything's got to be perfect with you, doesn't it?
It does. Why is he a...
Speaking of somebody that we used to know, ladies and gentlemen, former sports fan of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith from Petrus and Money.
Speaking of somebody that you used to know, we'll take calls right now. Yeah. What's happening, Bean? Hey, Kevin.
Oh, it's great to see you, Money. We miss you so much.
How are you?
Those were the good old days when Money was doing sports on our show.
Don't interrupt us. Remember? We're talking to each other.
Hey, Bean, Money and Lisa are having a moment.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize they were having a thing.
Yeah, we got a little thing going on.
Back in the day, it was a little early. Always angry, but...
That isn't good for you.
Hey, Money. We don't have a sports guy.
No.
I don't know whether it was your fault that
we
weren't allowed
to... What does that say about me? You know, when you leave a job and they don't replace you, or just not needed.
You don't know what it means is we could never top you.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, exactly.
And it drives us crazy because we're all big sports fans and we all want to follow and talk about the stuff that's going on. We just don't have a place to do it. So we're always grateful when you stop by.
One day when we get our own show, we're going to talk about sports.
That's right, man.
One day.
That's right.
Right.
When you put your names on that show...
We'll do whatever the hell we want. That's the man right. won't be able to say anything. What about these hockey playoffs? And I know we talked to you on the phone last week and talked about it. Right after there were three overtime games the night before. But it's been so much fun and so many surprises so far in the hockey playoffs in round one, right?
Well, and for the people, for the lay people that don't like the hockey, fighting. I mean, they had a guy carried out on a stretcher last night, taken to the hospital, and they were genuinely concerned for his well-being.
And he's one of the best players in the NHL.
Isn't that what Americans want? Don't they want violence? Don't they want fiery crashes? Don't they want injuries and stretchers? I mean, that is what the NHL playoffs is delivering this season.
I don't think that's
fisticuffs.
I don't think that's what people
want.
Why
not, Bean? This is America!
That's a good point.
I was thinking about it on the way in, because I knew we'd talk about the NHL playoffs, and, you know, when we talk about it on Petros and Money, we'll get emails, just Z's,
of course,
hockey.
Yeah.
And I decided it's got to be because here in America, you know, fathers, and this is why people get pissed when athletes run astray in their personal lives, because dads have this vision for their sons that they're going to grow up to be the next whatever, you know, Tim Tebow, Kobe.
Right. And none of them are, by the way.
And they never dream that the kids are going to grow up to be the next Marian Hossa or Jonathan Quick. It just doesn't happen here. And I think that's the big problem. Plus, you can't just go out to the, even if you're in Chicago or Boston, you got to live by a pond. It's got to be cold enough so that it's frozen. You can't just throw on the skates and go out and play when you're excited because you're watching some NHL hockey. It doesn't work.
I tried to play hockey when I was a kid in an ice skating rink with a yo-yo and I got kicked out.
With a yo-yo?
That's all I had.
That's it, huh?
I didn't have a puck.
Poor child.
Hey, here comes that kid with the yo-yo. He's got cooties. But look, and if I can just make the hard sell, it's my annual hard sell before the playoffs begin on the Petros and Money Show, and I did it here last week. Watch the NHL playoffs. There is nothing more compelling. Today is the 25th anniversary of the Easter Epic, a 4-overtime Game 7 in the conference semifinals between the Islanders and the Capitals, and that's what happens in the NHL playoffs. Just ridiculous drama, overtime games, guys being carried out on stretchers, and tremendous tension, drama. It's the best narrative.
Insane.
Yes, it is the best narrative in the postseason.
Tonight, Kings.
Yes.
Vancouver.
Yes.
Henrik Sedin, or what? Which one? Daniel Sedin? Or Harry? What's his name? I don't remember.
Daniel is the one that's been out with the concussion.
Yes.
If he comes back, that completely transforms that team. They become one of the most potent offensive forces in the league
when
you've got
scorer.
Both of those guys. Yeah.
But,
so.
Doesn't matter because we got Jonathan Quick.
Well, when you've got guys like Rafi Torres trying to turn Osa into an accordion, I mean, I assume you can just throw somebody out there to cave his head into the corner like Shea Weber did on Rick Zetterberg. How about those names I'm throwing out, by the way?
Yeah,
how
easy,
about
man.
How about this guy right here?
Wow.
How about this guy?
You
very
managed,
impressive.
You, at first, you were trying to keep people who didn't like
now
hockey.
Now I am running them all out.
Now you said, go away. We don't want you.
Hey, how about that Bachelor? I'm bringing back in now. I'm going to bring him back in.
What about Ralph's Flyers playing the... who is he playing? The Pittsburgh Penguins?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins of
They're
Pittsburgh.
They're up 3-0.
Fights. Just it was the nastiest, most violent hockey game I have seen in 20 years.
On
that
Sunday,
game three.
On Sunday, that was game three. On Sunday, I was watching my hotel room, and they threw out so many people that there were six guys on the ice, and then there were about, I don't know, five or six on the bench, and that's it.
That's it.
The bench was empty. They were all kicked out of the game.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, we were talking to Anze Kopitar earlier this week, the Kings forward. How about that pronunciation, by the way?
Yeah.
And if you saw the Kings game, and I promise we'll finish on the hockey here. Not that I'm trying to direct your show,
but I
get it.
Tonight is game four. But we're going to sweep those bastards.
When Dustin Brown laid a hit on the best player, the other Sedin, Henrik Sedin, basically Anze Kopitar just stood there and realized, oh, crap, I'm going to get hit in the head now. Because that's just the way hockey works. It's the first time he's ever been in a fight in his career.
Really?
But when he saw Dustin Brown lay that hit on Sedin, he said, I knew it was coming.
Which was a legal hit.
Yeah, legal hit, but he said, that's
one.
Just the way it is. He's their best player, so I knew someone was basically going to put their fist on the side of my head, and I just was ready for it.
That's a guy who never, ever fights.
Ever. And he's like, that's just the way the league works. You know, you got to deal with it.
I know this makes me a bad person and certainly in the minority in this room, but I'm no fan of the fights in hockey. I don't think that's good for the sport, and I don't think that's what's good about the sport either.
That's not what I enjoy about it, if that's what you're saying. Well, I really don't. Like, that's not a highlight for me.
But no. They could make them illegal, and they've chosen not to.
Well, because they've chosen not to, right. That's how they self-police. You know, if you're going to lay into the best player, then your best player, like I just mentioned, Ajay Kopitar, is going to get his head caved in by their goon. It's just that, you know, and that's the way they police guys from not taking cheap shots. Just knowing that your guy's gonna have to deal
with
it.
But in baseball, for instance, money, as you know, they throw you out of the game if you intentionally try to bean somebody to get revenge against a team.
I mean,
they've just decided, hey, we're not gonna allow that in the sport because we don't think it's right for the game. But in hockey, they think it's right.
They do, because they said, I believe this, it was put to us very well once by a Canadian, if you didn't have the fights, there'd just be vicious stick work out there. The stick work would be vicious. So I don't know what that means, but he's Canadian, so I'm going to take his word for it.
He probably
knows. You don't want vicious stick work.
No, I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
They covered this, I don't know if you watched House, but a couple weeks
you
ago
and me,
on House.
Little,
vicious stick work.
Let me just finish it. On House, they had a hockey storyline a couple of Monday nights ago, and one of the guys said, without the fighting, hockey's just the ice capades.
Oh,
so that's another way.
No way. That's ridiculous.
How dare they?
All right. We got to take a break. Mad Money Smith is here. We have so much ground to cover, including the NBA playoffs, which are just around the corner.
Yeah.
And the Lakers are kind of in an interesting position right now with their man out.
With assistant coach Kobe Bryant.
And also, are the Los Angeles Dodgers the best team in baseball? And what's up with the Angels? Why have they not caught fire? Because on paper, they should be winning
what's
everything.
What's up with the Angels?
We'll talk with Matt right after. Matt Money Smith from the Petras and Money Show is on the air with us right now. You can catch him weekday afternoons on AM 570. Hey, Dave poked his head in. The King of Mexico poked his head in during the song there and goes, what about the Clippers? You did not say anything about the Clippers.
Hey, Bean, why did you not sell the Clippers? They are only a half game back of the Lakers.
They are the hottest team in the NBA.
They are the hottest team and certainly a team, the old proverbial team that nobody wants to face in the playoffs because they have probably the guy that has been either the second or third best player in the league this year, and that is Chris Paul. And that's what happens when you trade for a franchise shifting point guard, and that's what Chris Paul is.
Boy, I'll tell you, the Lakers should have thought of that.
Yeah, turns out they did.
Oh, what?
And
huh?
Not so much. But hey, good for the Clippers, and they're going to be a tough out. But they got a tough pull in the first round with the Memphis Grizzlies. That's the team that upset the Spurs last year as the 8th seed. The Spurs were the one, and they're Clippers scary as well. So it is not out of the realm of possibility if they can play some defense that they can make a run. I mean, they can make a big run because the matchups kind of favor them the way the standings are starting to lay out.
It's about time Clippers fans got something like this. Because if you're a Clipper fan,
you know, I mean, 30 years.
Yeah, right?
You get a couple playoff appearance, one playoff series win. I said this last time I was on. They have never won the division. They have a shot at it now. They're a half game back of the Lakers. But remember, the Lakers on the tiebreaker, so they'll have to finish a full game ahead of the Lakers in order to get the division. But they have been here since, 70? I think they moved out in 77. I think they moved up to L.A. from San Diego a few years after that. So you're talking about 30 years, and they have never won the division.
Wow.
In 30 years.
Because they have a terrible owner. But this is the season where they actually assembled a team that could do it.
Well, all you got to do is get one guy. I mean, that's what basketball is. You get
one guy.
You
need two guys.
And, well, two
to
and a half.
To make a run, you need two guys.
To make a championship run. But to be relevant, look at Cleveland. That Cleveland team went to the NBA Finals because LeBron James was so good with guys like Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Larry Hughes and other guys that you've never heard of before in your life because he's that good. And that's how good Chris Paul is.
Yeah. What's going on with Kobe Bryant?
I'm going to say that Kobe Bryant's suits are worth more than the entire coaching staff combined on the Lakers. And they got a lot of assistants. I think they got like 8 assistants on that. If you piled all of them together, Kobe's suits while he's sitting on that bench, still worth more money. I think it's smart. Look, even if they give up a seed and even maybe the division, as long as you're in the top 4, that's all that matters. You want home court advantage for that first round so you can try to make a short series of it and then get to the second round. Lakers are veterans. They can win a game on the road. But if Kobe is old, and his body in this kind of season where they're playing nearly a full game more per week is starting to break down. Just shut him down. Big deal. Get into the playoffs. Let him be healthy, and all is well. That's why they're doing what they're doing. There's 4 games left.
4 games.
Lakers only have 4 games. They'll be done a week from tomorrow is their last game, and our regular season is over.
What are you going to be doing for Laker playoffs money?
I'll be out there. I'm sure I'll be out at the games. I'm in the middle of NBA draft stuff right now. I'm actually heading over to NFL Network after this. So NFL draft is a week from tomorrow. They'll do the first round. So I'll be kind of busy for those couple days. But that coincides with the – it's a great time. I mean, you got NHL playoffs. You got NBA playoffs. People that love the NFL are freaking out because the schedules were released yesterday. So you get to see either how good your team has it or how screwed you are because of who you have to play. The NFL draft is coming out. I mean, it really is a great time to be a sports fan.
Well, before we move on from basketball, I want to thank Kevin Bean listener Hector, who emailed me a clip that I guess he got off AM 710 last night of the Laker game with Justin Bieber stopping by to do a little bit of play-by-play of Los Angeles, San Antonio. You guys have not heard any of this?
I'm a Laker fan. I'm not a fan of putting him in the booth. Come on now. Have
some
pride.
It's the Biebs, man.
Have some pride.
They put anybody in the booth, though, if they have a celebrity stop by, right? I mean, they've had a long history of people who have done it, right?
Remember when Nicole Richie was being interviewed by Bill McDonald and said that she wanted to have sex with Kobe Bryant? That was arguably one of the better celebrity moments on a Laker broadcast. Yeah.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Justin Bieber last night. I think he's going to find out it's harder that he thinks.
No, this is my first time, so I'm a little nervous. I perform for for thousands of people, and I don't get nervous, but I'm nervous right now.
Okay, well, take your time now. You can call the play when it's Matt Barney in basketball.
Take your time.
Take it over, but just take your time. Don't try to be too quick. Just take your time and give the folks the description of what's going on.
Justin Bieber, ball to Parker. Go ahead. Parker's going down the court.
He's out.
That's it.
Gives it over to Tim Duncan. It seems like there's a call.
A foul on Ramon Sessions.
There's a foul on Ramon Sessions. Come on, Biebs, pick it up.
It seems like there's a call is what he said.
Tony Look, Parker I think brings if you've, it in.
If
Tony
you've
Parker
never done play-by-play
court.
For sports, I think all of a sudden when you're sitting there behind the microphone, it looks like it's moving a billion miles an hour. You're trying
I'll
to keep track of
I
all
agree.
The players,
the first
right?
Time, the first time I ever did play-by-play was for the Pac-10 basketball tournament. At Staples Center, and Barry Tompkins, long time, one of the great play-by-play voices of all time. You saw him in Rocky III. He was doing, and I mean, look, he's done boxing, Super Bowls, the whole deal. He said, first time, huh? And I said, yeah, he said, basketball, it's exciting. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You're doing basketball on radio? Yeah. You're screwed. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate that. Basketball is so, it moves so fast. And you just can't help. And that's what happened to Bieber there, is Tony Parker brings it in. And instead of just breathing and saying, Tony Parker into the front court, Spurs set up, Tim Duncan in the low post, dumps it into Duncan, you just freak out.
Yeah.
Tony Parker dribbling, pass, something seems like whistle.
People. But he's also a 13-year-old pop star from Canada, for God's sakes. He shouldn't
well,
be
he's
doing,
18,
whatever.
But still, he's
he
out of his
doing
depth.
Play-by-play.
Biebs, anybody can do this. Trust me, if I can sit here and do analyst, you can do it too.
Yeah. We only have a minute left, Matt Money Smith, and we saved baseball for last. The Dodgers and the Angels going in opposite directions. What up?
Well, a lot of it is the Dodgers are pretty settled, even though the Angels, have Albert Pujols and Howie Kendrick and Torii Hunter and all these big names and these big bats. I'm not crazy about their bullpen. They have a great starting rotation, and that sometimes takes a minute to settle, but they've got a little bit of issues. The Dodgers kind of know what their roles are. Here's the meat of our order, and Matt Kemp is being protected by Andre Ether, who's now hitting very well, and last night had a huge hit, and they nearly pulled that one out before Javi Guerra blew it. But Guerra's a good closer. He was a good closer at the back end of last year, and they're just a little bit more settled. Plus, they've obviously had the benefit of playing the Pirates and Padres for their first 10 games of the season, two teams that are not very good, whereas the Angels have played the Yankees. But at the same time, look, they lost to the A's last night. They got schooled by the Twins. They lost a couple to the Royals. So it's not like you can say the Angels have had that tough a go. When
it's
you're
too
that
early
good,
to be worried,
exactly.
Though.
When you're that good and you have that much talent, especially that starting rotation, they'll figure the bullpen out. But they have to figure that bullpen out. I mean, they've got dudes. I mean, they got old guys in that bullpen that they're not pitching on back-to-back days, which is crazy. I mean, you just can't have that. So they'll fortify that bullpen. They'll be all right.
You can follow the boys on Twitter at Petros and Money, website PetrosandMoney.com, and the show airs weekday afternoons at AM 570. You're going to stick around. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next.
You're damn right I am.
Linkin Park on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Chicky and peas.
Well, turn God on my sakes. Mic, damn it, beer mug.
It's on. I got it. It's
jeez.
On. It's on. Kevin. Take it easy.
How dare that's you not know Chicky and Pete's.
Flyers-Kings finals. That'd be great.
That's right.
That would be great.
That's what I could watch them win the cup either in Philly at home or here. Either way, I'd be
all bitchy because then your team would get beat and you walk in. Yeah, I'm so mad.
When we win. Oh. When we're skating around your rink, hoisting our cup.
I don't see that happening.
Kevin Bell, passed out in the booth. People taking pictures of him and photoshopping him into other things.
Ralph Garman, too. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday, Kevin DeBean Show.
Michael Douglas has recovered so well from his throat cancer, he's making another movie. He just announced he's making a movie called Last Vegas. See, it's like Las Vegas.
But it's last.
It's last.
That's funny.
The story is his friends are throwing him a bachelor party for Michael Douglas, who's marrying someone half his age. And so
what?
All the old guys get together, you see, and they go to Vegas.
Is this a documentary?
No, it's Hangover for the Elderly is what it is. Mm. So. That sounds good, right?
No? I like him.
You know, what's the opposite of good? A little bit more.
He's going to be playing a Liberace, too, in a new movie.
Oh, wow.
Directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Life story Liberace.
Oh, got the museum out there in Vegas.
No, it's closed.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where have I been?
They went out of business.
Not there, thank God.
Financial aids.
Oh, my God.
That's what happened. That's what closed the
I think it's AIDS singular, actually. Ralph.
Financial aid?
Yeah,
they didn't have enough financial aid?
I believe it's singular.
That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
Yeah,
of course you did.
While we're talking about money, who do you think is the richest hip-hop earner? Richest rapper? Who do you think's got the most money of all the rappers?
Jay-Z. I'm going to go
Jay-Z.
MC Light.
MC Light, exactly. Yes, how did you guess?
50 Cent.
Jay-Z. That's my guess.
Anyone else?
Can I take one more crack at it?
Sure.
Shinehead. No?
Shinehead.
I'm real cool. I chilled to the max. Come on.
Diddy.
Diddy.
Diddy. Diddy's the richest.
That's a little surprising.
Diddy's the richest. Yeah, he's got everything. You're right, money. He's got not only Ciroc Vodka, which is a big earner for him, his own clothing lines. Big earners. He's worth somewhere, according to Forbes magazine, he's in the neighborhood of $550 million in worth.
Whoa!
Which is a pretty good neighborhood.
When's he opening the Diddy Dance Academy?
I'm not sure.
Take on Abby Lee.
Diddy Dance opens.
Right.
Are you not entertained?
Jay-Z comes...
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, I'm trying to talk here, Diddy. Jay-Z comes in second with $460 million.
What's that? Nothing. Measures
now, remember, he's
Diddy.
Also got all of his wife's money at his disposal, too. So he's got a bigger household earning.
Owns part of the soon-to-be Brooklyn Nets, of course.
Yep.
Dre is third.
Wow, I forgot about Dre.
$270 million for Dre.
In the file.
Good God. In the file.
There's no question that's a file. They did that song, by the way. It's great. Eminem came out and did it. Back to you.
We going top five?
Top five we're going.
I'm
going
to go Spinderella from
Spinderella, yes. Spinderella is fourth.
What a surprise.
No, Birdman.
What?
Birdman is fourth. I'm not kidding. Birdman is fourth.
From the Denver Nuggets?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Chris Anderson.
And 50 Cent rounding out the top five. He's fifth on the list.
And he made most of his money on that energy drink or something, right?
Water.
Or beverage or something?
Vitamin water. Water.
Wow.
Birdman. That's surprising to see
him. That's unreal. Birdman.
Today's celebrity birthday is James Woods. He's 65 years old today. Actor Rick Moranis.
You know, I hear that James Woods really got it going on.
Yeah, I heard he's packing.
That's the word on the street.
Is that right?
You hear that, Lisa?
He's well equipped.
I know that. Actually.
You know that?
Whoa. How about that? Put it in the file.
Jiminy Cricket. Rick Moranis is 59 years old
Ralph.
Today.
Yeah, Rick Moranis.
Yeah. No, I heard the opposite.
Oh, I'm misinformed on that one. Okay.
Honey, I shrunk my penis. I believe that's what he said on his wedding night. Eric Roberts is 56 years old today.
Wouldn't that be a great porn?
Honey, I Shrunk My Penis?
Yeah, it'd just be like, small penis porn. And like the dude jumps
Who
in
wants to watch that? That'd be terrible.
But it'd be a great plot. You know, a guy that's just really got it going.
Who's watching it for plot?
Who wants plot?
You guys don't watch it for
plot?
No,
we don't watch it for plot.
Terrible idea.
Beginning to end?
That's a terrible idea.
Closure.
Eric Roberts is 56. Conan O'Brien's 49. Eric McCormick is also 49. Maria Bello is 45.
Maria Bello.
That's a strong 45 right there. Mm-hmm. Eli Roth, writer-director. Still waiting on Thanksgiving.
Dark meat. All will be carved.
Yeah. Where's that movie, Eli Roth?
Thanksgiving.
40 years old today.
What was the Full Frontal, Maria Bello, with Viggo Mortensen? History of Violence.
History of Violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
That's
great
right.
Movie. Her in the cheerleader outfit?
Oh, how about that?
She was also pretty naked in the cooler, wasn't she?
Yeah, with William H. Macy. Yep. You're right. Good point. The only downside is you got to see William H. Macy's ass.
That is
too.
True.
Yeah, the downside. You don't want that.
Melissa Joan Hart is 36 years old today.
For yourself.
Kourtney Kardashian is 33. America Ferrera. Ugly Betty, she's 28. And Rosie Huntington-Whiteley celebrates her 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla joins us like you do. Plus, we've got more tickets for you to join us at the K-Rock Coachella House this weekend and a three-day pass to see Coachella weekend number two. That's at 9 o'clock this morning. And then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9. You can win your tickets all day, all week here on K-Rock. Details at krock.com. All right, we're talking about the TSA now. Man, there have been a lot of stories in the news here lately, Kevin, about people who are just, they've had it about up to here with how invasive these TSA searches have become lately,
well,
right?
They do, they are making sure that you're not carrying anything anywhere.
Right.
And sometimes that feels like you're getting touched inappropriately. Whoops, I'm sorry, Lisa, what?
I'm enjoying the experience.
Are you?
Yeah. I thought my vacation had an extra oomph.
When I went to Coachella, they searched me, and I asked for them to do it again.
Yeah,
sure. It was really good.
I say go with it.
The TSA does seem like it's getting a bad rap these days, and I don't know if they obviously changed their guidelines.
Did they ever find anything, by the way? Because I never hear stories of they go, hey, they found a guy with a knife in his crotch trying to get on a plane in Arizona. I mean, it seems like we don't hear that there's been that much result as a result of these stepped-up searches. But here's a story from yesterday, for instance. This is a 50-year-old, 49 in some accounts, guy in Oregon who just had it up to here. He was just tired of how much screening they were trying to put him through before he got on his plane. And listen to what happened.
John Brennan, that is the man who got completely naked at around 5:30 this afternoon. The witness tells us that Brennan was actually completely dressed as he went through security. Then he was taken aside for some extra security. And that's the point where he completely disrobed. He got in the buff right there. And the witness, Riley, tells us that Brennan was saying things like, this isn't illegal, am I doing anything illegal, am I safe to go home now, things like that. Well, he was later arrested, Brennan was, and that is when investigators say that he told them that he was protesting the TSA agents. He says that he flies all the time and that he felt that they were harassing him today.
I can understand why you would feel that way. I mean, and I can also understand the frustration that leads to taking off your clothes, but that's not going to get you through the line any faster or get you onto your plane.
It's
that's
not going to
sure.
get you on your plane at all.
Not at all, yeah.
No, it's not.
Turns out but that is illegal.
we thought it might be interesting to take calls because we haven't talked about the TSA in a long time. And I'm sure that somebody out there is thinking 99% of the TSA are just doing the job
Agreed.
That they're being asked to do, and they're not trying to be inappropriate. And believe me, it's no thrill for them to put their hands down the waistband of your underwear. It's just something that they have to do. I mean, Doesn't it look like a terrible job to you? It looks like a horrible job to me.
It does, yeah.
It depends until somebody, you know, if Lisa comes through my line, now I'm interested. But
yeah. then you don't get to search.
I know,
though.
They call
That's
a woman
the
over. That's my problem. They should let women do men and then let men do men, I guess is the only safe
well,
way to do it.
We want to take your calls and hear your stories. If you've been involved in a TSA search where you thought it went too far, where you felt like they were a little bit too invasive in your personal space for what the job was supposed to be, and if there was a conversation or if there was a problem, we want to hear about how this happens. Or we'd like to hear from people who are on the other side of that, the people who have the rubber gloves on, who are doing the TSA searches. Who was – you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Who was the – who's the supermodel that's in the news this week?
Bar Raffaelli.
Now, what was her quote? She said there was no question what the sexuality was of the woman who was doing her search, right?
I got a security pat-down, she tweeted, by a woman at the airport that made me feel very uncomfortable and left no doubt about her sexual preferences.
That's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
I think so, too. Because
is that just hot girls who thinks everyone wants to feel her up?
Probably, because I imagine the ugly girl that went before her probably got the same search.
I'm thinking so, too, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe she lives in such a stratosphere that she's not used to that kind of intrusive pat-down. The rest of us that aren't supermodels, we get hands up our butts. I mean, that happens. That's how you fly. You want to fly? Let them put their hands wherever they want to put them. That's how it works.
And I'm also curious about this, and I don't know how to say this in a politically correct way. And we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have a personal experience you want to weigh in here. And that is, What's to stop somebody who is gay or lesbian from taking a job like this and spending all day feeling up members of the same sex? That would be a thrill. I mean, I guess that
I imagine they try to screen for that. I mean, imagine they're
looking for people
careful.
Who aren't getting a thrill out of it, who are just doing it appropriately.
You have to guess the percentages of the super hot are really small.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So most of the day, you're patting down people that you don't want to be touching.
You have no attraction to whatsoever. You're just basically being ordered to touch them because it's your job.
I would guess that you really get very little payoff for that.
If you're interested in what the TSA offers, by the way, the various options that they have come up with in order to give you some choices if you're uncomfortable with the kind of search you're getting at the airport, here's a little explanation of what's available to you.
As you enter the checkpoint, you'll be directed to pass through either a walk-through metal detector or, in some airports, an advanced imaging technology AIT unit. If you are directed to pass through an AIT, you may opt out. If you choose to opt out, you will receive a thorough pat-down by someone of the same gender. If you alarm either the metal detector or the AIT, you would also receive a pat-down. You have the option to request that the pat-down be conducted in a private room, and you have the option to have that pat-down witnessed by a person of your choice.
All right.
Okay.
That's what they say.
Let's talk to Daniel. He's got a bizarre story. Hi, Daniel.
Yes, sir. When I got home from Iraq, I had 4 hours to pack when I got back from outside the wire.
Uh-huh.
When I landed in Dallas, which is the main hub, they were like, oh, yeah, you're randomly selected for a bomb check. And I'm like, well, you're going to find stuff. I've got a gunpowder residue on my hands and possible explosive residue on my boots.
Uh-huh.
I walked through, set off the machine. They made a huge deal about it. I'm like, I just told you. I'm home. I'm leaving from Iraq.
Were you wearing your uniform?
I was still in uniform.
Okay.
And they pulled me aside and strip searched me.
Strip searched
you? No kidding.
They pulled me aside and strip searched me and had me in zip ties. And finally, someone from the U.S. Customs Agency came out and said, what the heck are you doing? Get him to his flight.
Wow. See, now, this is what confuses so many people about the TSA, Daniel, is that in the effort to be random, sometimes it seems like they're not even using common sense or responding in a one-on-one conversation. I mean, you gave them the information ahead of time so that they knew what to expect when they did the search on you.
Flat out told them, when you check my bag, you're going to find things. When you check my hands, you're going to find things.
Plus, I could choke you out inside 5 seconds.
What I can't figure out is Dallas is the major hub for all flights coming in. So they've got this happening on a daily basis, and they still freaked out, like, oh, my God, he's got explosives. I'm like, no, I don't.
Right.
I just got home from a war zone. I'm going to have this stuff still on my hands.
Wow.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, it's that they're not even using common sense to look at the situation that they're in with the person that's in front of them. They're just going, okay, here's what I've been informed. This is what I've been asked to do in every situation where I come across explosives. This is what I have to do. And they don't think, oh, this guy's got a legitimate story. And yeah. I mean, you're in zip ties and strip search. Welcome home, soldier.
Yeah, it was really entertaining when I was sitting in the, after the strip search, and I was sitting in that little private room with everyone looking at me.
Sweet.
Zip ties and no boots on, looking like, oh man, he's got like PTSD or something. What'd he do? I'm like, oh God, I look like something at a petting zoo.
Yeah, that's not what you want. That's not what you want. All right,
really
D. Glad you called, man. Thank you very much.
You.
Let's squeeze in Randy real quick before the break. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Your TSA experiences, gone too far?
I'd like to also hear, and I know you already mentioned this, from anyone that works for the TSA as well.
Absolutely.
All right.
Randy, it sounds like a date broke out on your search. What happened, dude? Hello, Randy.
I have all the buttons pushed correctly. Yep. Randy's gone.
Oh.
Okay.
But see, this was in Istanbul. No, it was a different one in Istanbul, yeah.
Yeah, Randy said the guy grabbed his crotch, made him drop his pants, which sounds like that's going beyond just a search. I mean, they're not allowed to touch your junk, right? They're looking for things in that's strapped to you or that's in the waistband of your pants or your underwear.
If you set off this alarm, if this alarm goes off at the airport, just drop them automatically.
All right, Randy, call back if you can. Everybody else, you too. 1-800-520-1067. More calls from you coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. A rash of stories lately with people who are getting fed up with how invasive the TSA security searches are at airports. We're taking your calls on that topic right now at 1-800-520-1067. Stan, you hang on. I know you work for TSA. We do want to talk to you. But first, let's go back to Jennifer here on line 6. She's the one who had an incident at an airport in Istanbul, of all places.
Oh.
Jennifer, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for holding on. What happened? Hello, Jennifer.
Phone trouble?
I don't know. We may be having phone trouble. Let me put her
what
on
is hold. Happening here?
Go back to her.
You got a girl on hold who wants to talk about another woman groping her breast, and we can't get her on the air?
Said,
what kind of a fail is this?
The women in security in Istanbul not only felt her up, but then made her pull her top down.
That's thorough is what that is.
I want to go work for the TSA in Istanbul.
But I want to know how Jennifer felt about it, but apparently that's not going to happen. All right. Let's try Stan, line 3, 1-800-520-1067. We apologize if for some reason we're having trouble with the phones. We don't know what's going on. How about Stan?
Is he there?
Stan?
Damn.
Now, something's happening when you're hitting the button. They're just gone. Like you picking up the phone is somehow disconnecting them, is hanging up on them.
I feel like it's working well.
Try phone bank two.
All right. Hello, Stan.
Hello, Kevin.
Excellent.
Hey, nice.
Beer mug just solved the problem.
He solved the problem.
Couldn't have solved the problem for Jennifer who wanted to call and talk about her boobs, could you? Thanks, beer mug. Stan, you work for the TSA. Look, we're not trying to you know, slander your entire agency. I know you're doing a job that you're being paid to do, but can you see why some people are saying, hey, it's going too far?
Well, yes. TSA was created in the wake of September 11th, 2001, and we had to man 450 airports by November of 2001. So they went to this mass hiring and just hired everybody and their mama.
Right. Yeah, but none of those people are still working for the agency. They've had a lot of years to refine their strategy and to figure out, you know, what's the proper balance between invasion of privacy and safety. We're not talking about, this isn't December of 2001 we're having this conversation.
Right, but those employees with no common sense are still within their organization, and then they've been going up our ranks, and they don't know how to read the procedures very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they go above and beyond to what it's on paper.
So you think the management are the one, at least in your case, are the ones who are misinterpreting what's supposed to be done?
No, the employees are.
Employees, okay.
Yes.
So the employees are the ones that are doing the pat downs. They're the ones that don't understand. They're just being extra thorough to make sure they don't get in trouble, or they're getting some kicks, or what?
That's basically it, right? They're getting in trouble.
What percentage of people who come through are hot? Pretty low, right?
Yes, pretty low.
I mean, it wouldn't be worth it.
How crappy is your job?
I don't mind my job. I love my job.
If you have a computer, take it out. Take off your shoes. Take off your belt.
Let me ask you this, Stan. Are you a heterosexual guy?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How deep do you go into guys' shorts when you're searching them at the airport? I mean, what are the rules? What are you supposed to be doing? I've heard just what sound like horror stories of people who have TSA agents put their whole hands in the waistband of a guy's underwear. What's going on?
So those are the guys that have no common sense. They go above and beyond what they're supposed to do.
So you're absolutely not supposed to do that.
So what so if the dudes, you know, elbow deep. What should we do? Should we call somebody or ask for a supervisor? What?
Yes, you can ask for a supervisor, and they'll come in and visually observe employee doing these pat downs.
All right.
Are you having more and more people who are either refusing the search or are complaining about it or are taking photos or video of it? I mean, have you seen any kind of a pushback from travelers at your location?
No, but it's getting better because of these AIT machines.
Yeah,
they don't have to pat you down unless they see something that they can't identify on your body. So it's better. Less pat downs.
Let me ask you this question about the pat downs, because it seems to me like it's gotten a lot more thorough really recently, just like in the last year or so. Did something come down a year ago or sometime recently rather than all the way back in 2001?
No, but it's going to take that one time. That one time something happens.
Oh, I see. So did something happen a year ago where someone got through or something?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Oh, okay. They're looking for the underwear underwear bomber too, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Christina real quick on line 6. I'm not going to let this topic go until we have some girls talk on in some detail about how they got massaged.
All right, take it easy.
Christina is on line 6. Let's try to actually get her on a phone line that works. Christina, can you hear me?
Dude, what do you want me to do?
Fix it.
Beer mug, fix it. Why can't we talk to chicks? Why do we have all the time in the world for Stan?
Christine?
Hello?
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Christina.
Hi.
How are your boobs, my dear?
Mm-hmm. They're fine.
Really? That's what you wanted to ask?
Well, this is crucial to the story here. What happened? Where were you and what happened?
I was at Burbank Airport, and I was flying back east to visit my family for Christmas. And I had a turtleneck sweater on, and the woman told me because I had a turtleneck on, she needed to search my neck area.
Yeah.
And she put her hands on my neck and then proceeded to move down to my boobs, cupped each boob in each hand, and went all the way around.
Really? Is this working for you, Bean?
No, I'm just shocked. So, I mean,
Bean needs another 14 seconds.
What were you thinking as you were standing there and she was doing this?
I thought it was very strange because my turtleneck ended at my neck.
Right. It seemed like a bit much. Now, did you ask her about it or say anything? I mean, did she honestly think that you had something stuffed in your bra or what was going on?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't have small boobs, but they're not porn star size. But she just grabbed each one, squeezed them together, and told me I could go.
Look,
wow.
Let me ask a question, and I'm not in favor of anybody being violated, but let me ask a question. I was just out of Coachella. Women keep everything in their bras. Yes. Phones, money, everything. Is that what they're looking for? Because they know that that's the most normal place that women carry
because
things?
Because a metal detector would detect a weapon of some sort, right?
Right, and I had already gone through the x-ray part, and so my phone was in the, you know, on the belt with all my carry-on luggage, so right. I had nothing in my bra.
Yeah, really, what are they looking for at that point?
Oh, you had stuff in your bra, it's just not...
Yeah. All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you enjoy it? How much did the TSA agent enjoy it?
I don't know how much she enjoyed it, but for me, being a straight woman, not so much.
Not so much.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Christina, thank you very much for the call. Keep doing what you're doing. Adam Carolla joins us coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we've got your tickets for all 3 days of this weekend's Coachella. These porn parodies, I guess, will never stop being popular. Especially this new series of This Ain't or This Isn't. You know, they did the Gilligan's Island one, and This Isn't the Brady's, and This Isn't Star Trek. And now they're back with a new one that doesn't, in my mind, lend itself to a porn parody.
Not the Three Stooges, Triple X.
Now, is there anything less sexy than the Three Stooges?
Yeah, I can't imagine. None of them are good looking. They're all old. They just hit each other. And what kind of porn would that be?
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like, I mean, you look at some of these other things. You look at Star Trek and you go, okay, well, at least you've got Lieutenant Uhura. At least you've got, you know, the nurse. At least you've got some women. I mean, I can't even think of any women. I guess this new movie that's in theaters right now, they do have some scenes at a convent where they have nuns. And maybe that's what they're basing it on. But it's just, I don't understand what the draw is
clips.
Here. Because you don't want to mix up your comedy with your sex, right?
I have some clips if you want to hear.
Yeah.
If I'm not the Three Stooges, Triple X.
Yes. I have three clips.
If you say so.
Here's the first one.
Hello.
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 Hey, we're the plumbers. Those kneesy are spread out.
Oh, that's my pipe wrench.
Hey, she's hairier than I am.
That doesn't sound sexy.
It's not sexy at all.
Is that sexy to anyone?
No. They sure got the sound effects going, though. I'll tell you that.
All right, that's clip one. Here's clip two.
I'm going to murderize that robot. Hey, let me get in there.
All right, I might need to see this now.
That was the worst orgy scene ever. You don't want to hear Larry going, hey, let me get in there. You don't want that.
Here's the third and final clip from me.
Get off your tail, she's mine.
No, she's mine now. Oh, no, I'm stuck. Oh, get me out.
I pull up your unit with these pliers. I'm spent.
Wow, that seems.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's not needed. That's not for me.
A negative.
By the way, looking ahead toward later in the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, John Jones promoting UFC 145 is going to be on the program. Paul F. Tompkinson stopping by. We got Dr. Drew. Mm. Patton Oswalt's going to be on the show on Friday.
What?
Ziggy Marley as part of our 420 celebration is all happening. And apparently we're very close to David Hasselhoff joining us on Friday as well. So a lot of good stuff still coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the show biz beat on a Wednesday.
The reports are in. The people have spoken.
Uh-huh.
Bean has crossed an all-time creepy threshold with the TSA break that we were talking to.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, well done. Well done, champ. I didn't think you'd be able to best your own record, but apparently you have.
All right. That's creepy.
Yeah. We were having a conversation about TSA searches. You can't do that without talking about people touching people.
I think, though, it was the pouty and how pouty and frustrated you got when you couldn't talk to a girl who had been molested by a TSA agent that really put the creepy factor over the top.
Creepy alert.
Why can't we talk to a woman who's been massaged by a TSA agent? Why aren't those phones working? The panic in your voice, the sheer distraction creeped everyone out a little bit.
I heard that desperation, and I was pushing buttons like a madman. So
Bam, why can't you get it to work?
I thought he was going to just explode.
We need to talk to a woman who's been touched inappropriately.
Everybody's kind of cringing in the other room.
Look, haven't you ever been all psyched up and ready to go to Disneyland and then found out at the last second you couldn't go? It's disappointing. It takes a while to process.
However, some of us don't treat molestation as Disneyland.
Disneyland, my friend.
I'm not saying I'm Disneyland. I'm saying that story was Disneyland for me for the day. That's the thing I was most looking forward to.
And what we're saying is
that it was taken away from me. Creepy alert.
Not the least bit creepy. It's the fact that women being molested at the airport was Disneyland for you.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
That's what we ask. All right, let's talk about showbiz. Here's a little cautionary tale, boys and girls. Right. Be careful of one-night stands. Uh-oh. Simon Cowell apparently met a young woman and brought her back to his hotel room last week.
What's he doing?
He
picking up chicks?
What he can.
He woke up the next morning. The mystery gal had taken off with his computer, some sensitive X-Factor production documents, and had emptied out his wallet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bitch got no class.
That's awesome. Immediately contacted the police, who apparently were able to track down the young lady and retrieve his computer. No word on whether he got the documents or his cash back, but he did get his computer back.
Ouch. So.
Got to be careful out there, people. Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. She wants to be mayor of Glendale.
Please, can that happen?
In an unaired clip from Sunday's episode of Chloe and Lamar, Kim said to Chloe that she wanted to be mayor when they were talking about Ross Perot, who apparently has a museum in Dallas that they spotted while they were driving around. I've decided I'm going to run for the mayor of Glendale, she said.
Glendale!
I have to buy a house there. Noelle and I guess Noelle is her assistant, are like looking into all the requirements. Because it's like Armenian town. She said, referencing Glendale's large Armenian community.
That doesn't mean they would vote for you.
No. That just because your name ends in IAN doesn't necessarily mean they would vote for it.
No.
I guess it's the largest concentration of Armenian people in the world outside of Armenia. Which I
still doesn't
I
mean they vote for her.
No, they're not going to vote for
her.
Right. No. I used to live in Glendale when I first moved to Los Angeles. I lived in Glendale for years.
Glendale!
It's a great little community. And they're much smarter than to vote for Kim Kardashian.
I might move there to vote for her.
just to buy some property just so that you can vote?
You know, I vote comedy.
I spent the afternoon making a list of famous Armenians.
Yes.
Eric Bogosian. Mm-hmm. Andre Agassi.
Right.
Jerry the Shark Tarkanian.
Right.
That is all.
All right. That's it. Well, Kim Kardashian, you have to put her in there, right? Ted Nugent, rock and roller Ted Nugent. He is being given the once-over by the Secret Service, saying over the weekend that if Barack Obama was reelected, that the Nuge would be dead or in jail by this time next year.
Wow.
Meaning that he might do something overtly aggressive towards the president.
That seems bad.
Wow. Yeah. He probably has about 100 guns. So,
and that bow and arrow.
That bow and arrow.
He does have a bow and arrow, too. Yeah.
Look, I saw the Avengers. I know what can be done with a bow and arrow. Hawkeye would just take you out. He compared Obama and the administration to coyotes and varmints that needed to be shot, and also encouraged voters to chop Democrats' heads off in November.
Well, that's what I like about politics, is the civilized conversation.
Cooler heads prevail.
Correct, yes.
Yes.
I really enjoy that.
Yeah, so the Nuge apparently is on the radar now at the Secret Service.
Oh, yeah.
Looking into his comments.
Well, some are. The others are in a strip club.
There is such a fine line between being passionate and, you know, getting the message out that it's really important that we change this administration, and going just a hair too far where you talk about how you start decapitating them to get your way.
Talk about how Obama is a coyote peeing on your couch and needs to be shot.
Right.
What's that thing?
Yeah. Too far.
Needs to be shot. Maybe you should leave out of your conversation as well as cutting off heads.
Yeah.
Maybe those things.
If we've learned nothing from Sam the Armenian comedian, it's don't make bomb threats. And if we learn from the Nuge, don't chop off heads.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And how about a Rockford Files movie? Kevin, a lot of people are very upset with you when you mentioned earlier today that you had never seen an episode of the Rockford Files.
Why does anyone care if I've seen an episode of the Rockford Files?
Because we just want you to do better things than you do.
You want me to be better than I am?
Yes.
Because the audience is saying, don't be bad. That's why.
That's what they're saying.
How dare you?
Apparently, someone informed me that every episode of Rockford Files is available on Netflix. You can stream it at home and watch every episode that you want.
I can't keep up with the stuff I have to keep up with.
Well, maybe less passing out at Coachella, a little bit more time at home watching television.
Go to the Kings game tonight. Game four of the playoffs.
No, that means for us tomorrow, boys and girls.
Oh, yeah.
If it goes into overtime, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, it is.
Long game. What's this?
This is the Rockford Files theme.
Hey, great.
Anyway, the reason we talk about it, Universal Pictures apparently working on a big screen version of the 70s TV series with Vince Vaughn in the role of James Rockford, the private investigator who lives in a trailer by the beach and routinely we get his ass kicked by the people he was following. Excellent choice. Vaughn would be a good choice.
Mm-hmm. I like Vince Vaughn. Anyway.
Vaughn is sort of like the scrappy underdog guy.
And
that's what Rockford always was, too.
Just turn that music down a touch. Just turn it down a touch.
He was like...
just a touch.
For Kevin, who doesn't know, he was a private eye, but instead of being like the cool private
just
eye...
turn the music down a touch.
He like lived with his dad. His dad was always giving him a hard time, and he would... You know, his car was always in the shop, and he was just working for...
barely making ends meet.
Hand to mouth, $100 a week.
Yeah. He had to eat tacos and catch his own fish off the end of a pier. just had a hard Scrabble life.
What are we talking about now?
Jim Rockford. Jim Rockford, we're talking about.
Oh, you lost me.
Ass.
Now, James Garner, he's no longer with us, right, Ralph?
He is. He absolutely is with us.
He's still alive.
He's alive and kicking, yes.
Wow.
I'm sure he'll be glad to hear that you thought he was dead.
I didn't know. He's been a little bit off the radar, that's all.
I believe he's been in ill health as of late, but he is absolutely alive.
But
I just got his autobiography. I haven't read it yet, but I just picked it up.
I'll get that.
Is that Jim calling?
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
That's how every episode started, Kevin.
That's a terrible way to start a show.
With his voicemail going off, and then someone's like, hey, Jim, you know that check you wrote me for those repairs in your car? Yeah, that bounced. I'm coming over with two guys and a pipe wrench. Mm-hmm. And then the show would start.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Kevin, you don't get it, man.
Why do you hate it? You've never seen it, and it's great. Why does Kevin hate?
Why does Kevin hate?
Rockford Files!
I hate it. I didn't hate it before you guys started beating me up.
You hate it now?
Yeah. You guys made me hate it. I didn't even care about it before.
James Woods, as we look at celebrity birthdays, was in several episodes of The Rockford Files.
That's great news.
And they did two TV movies together, him and James Garner.
Fantastic. I hope to never see them
as
well.
The Promise, which is a great movie. You should check that out. And Bill W., the story of the guy who started Alcoholics Anonymous.
No.
Kevin hasn't seen that and also hates it.
Rick Moranis.
I hate what you two recommend for me.
Rick Moranis is 59 years old. Eric Roberts turns 56. Conan O'Brien is 49. Eric McCormick is 49.
Yeah, Eric.
Maria Bello, 45 years old. Eli Roth, writer and director, is 40.
This year, there will be no leftovers.
That's from Thanksgiving, the movie he teased us with and never made.
Make promise.
Come home for the holidays in a body bag.
He promised he was going to make it and then never did.
Make that.
Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, is 36 years old. Kourtney Kardashian. Oh, can she run for mayor someplace, too? How about Death Town?
Wow.
I'd like her to be the mayor of Corpseville.
Wait, Kourtney? How did she offend you so much?
She's just one of them.
Chloe.
She's just one of them.
Yeah, I know, but...
Any Kardashian. And all the Jenners, too. I want them all gone. Take them out. She's 33 years old. America Ferrera is from Ugly Betty. She's 28 years old.
Did everybody listen to what Ralph just said? He said he's fine with all of them going away. He didn't say cut off their heads.
Right.
He didn't say shoot them.
He didn't say he'd be in jail.
Right. There are a lot of things.
Oh, they'll all be dead soon and I'll be in jail. I never said that.
There's a lot of ways.
I just said she's going to be the mayor of Corpseville.
Right.
That's all I said. And Rosie Huntington-Whiteley is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations to... Eva Cruz from Torrance just got tickets for all 3 days of this weekend's Coachella.
Excellent.
You didn't almost have trouble saying the name Eva Cruz, did you?
No, I was trying to find it.
Couldn't see
where it was.
That scared me. I'm worried about losing you.
Yeah.
All right. Adam Carolla on the phone here on the Kevin Amin Show. The guy does it all. He's got another book coming out called Not Taco Bell Material that you can pre-order now at adamcarolla.com. You can see him on stage Saturday night, April 28th at the John Lovitz Theater at Universal City. Tickets on sale for that, too. Also, the Irvine Improv on May 3rd. And, of course, he also, won the celebrity race at the Long Beach Grand Prix last weekend. What's up with that, Adam? You and a race car driver. What's up with that?
Oh, so good.
You won the race.
Oh, it's so awesome because you train for like 2 months and they send you out to Willow Springs in the desert and there's all these a-hole celebrities with all this testosterone pumping and everything, and by the time it comes down to race day, it's like jets flying over and Leanne Rimes singing the Star Spangled Banner, and it's awesome.
How fast did you go, Ace?
You average like 65 miles an hour, something like that. It's a pretty windy track, and you only get up, like 110 on Shoreline Drive. It's a lot of corners, really. It's just, it's technical, it's fun, and it's just, it's the greatest thing ever. And it's huge. They get like 65,000 people after that thing.
Did you bump anyone out of the way on your way to your victory?
No, there was a lot of carnage behind me and a lot of cars destroyed. And
I see.
Adrian Brody and Brody Jenner and a few other guys got, Eddie Cibrian and guys like that got into it. But,
in your rear view mirror. Yeah.
Right, baby.
What, I know it's a charity event. Do you get anything if you win the race?
Well, the thing that's weird, I've done it three times, and I'm looking into it, because they have this pole sitter award, which is if you set the pole in qualifying, People Magazine gives you $15,000 toward your charity, but if you win the race, I don't know what you get. I think you get like 10 grand or something for the Catholic Big Brothers, and it's good for me because I totally stiff them on Celebrity.
That's
know,
right.
Trump's whatever.
Celebrity Apprentice, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with the Celebrity Rehab. That'll be next. By the way, you should be able to get sober for a charity too, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Why not? Yeah.
Why not?
I can imagine, we've talked to you on the show before about your love of automobiles. I can imagine that this has to rank up there as one of the great thrills of your professional life, to be in the outfit, driving an actual race car, and actually being able to go as fast as you want and win a race. I mean, what a thrill.
Listen, you say, let's not limit it to professional life. Personal, kids, it transcends everything.
Exactly.
Kids will be happy to hear that.
Sure they will. All right, get all the details of what's going on in the Ace Man's world, of course, at his great website, adamcarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three in work and our way up to number one, where I finished the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix, by the way. I don't like to talk about it. On Thursday before the race, you go visit the children's hospital out there in Long Beach.
Right.
And you think, well, how can you complain about visiting a children's hospital? Oh, buckle in your five-way harness and fire suit, because here I go. First off, the first room we went to, I put my hand on a kid's shoulder, and I was like, when are they going to let you out of this place? And the kid was like, at about an hour. What the hell did I drive cross town for if you're going home? Hell, he's a horse in an hour. Then we went to the next kid's room, and I said to the mom, when's she get out of here? And she said, oh, this afternoon.
Are you sure you were in the right place?
It pissed me off. I swear to God, I came in the third kid's room. He was doing push-ups. Get out of here, Pop.
That's sick enough for you, huh?
Honestly, the first two kids were like, we're out of here. And then I was like, what part of the country are you from? I saw the mom. She's like, Cerritos, like down the street. I'm like, what are we wasting my time for? What am I putting all this Purell on for? Your kids are fine. And then the concept is sort of screwed up, like visiting the children's hospital.
Right.
Because you think little six-year-old Tammy is like, hey, it's former UFC heavyweight belt holder Cain Velasquez. Or is it just a big scary Mexican guy standing in my room now holding a stuffed elephant?
I have no idea who it is.
Do you think she knows who Cain Velasquez is?
I'm guessing not.
Sorry about that scrap with Junior Del Santo, but, he's just got a better stand-up game, Kane. Anyway, you're blocking TV Disney. Do you think the seven-year-old with the tube in his nose knows who Brian Austin Green is? I don't know who Brian Austin Green is. It's a totally flawed premise. There's five and six-year-old kids who have no idea. It's not like, hey, man, show. Yeah, season two was better than season one. Like, who knows us?
If you don't mind my saying, what were you doing there?
That's my point.
All right.
They don't know who I am. I'm scary guy with something with a soccer ball. That's it. Number two, oh, boy, we have gone to hell in a handbasket. I went to my kid's T-ball game yesterday.
Right.
My son would not put his baseball hat on. Every other kid had their hat on the team and on the opposing team. There are 40 kids out there all wearing their hat, except for my son. So I, in the dugout, I walked over to him through the fence, and I said, Sonny, put your hat on. And he said, I don't want to put my hat on. I said, put your hat on. He said, I put my hat on. I can't see the fly balls. I said, Sonny, put your hat on. He said, No, I don't feel like it. And I went and sat back down on my beach towel, and then I said to my wife, I told him to put his hat on three times, and he wouldn't do it. And she said, and here's really where we've gotten into trouble as a society. She said, you have to explain to him why he needs to put the hat on so he understands. And I thought, how about I just scream at him, put your GD hat on while I put a Tipperillo out on it? Do I really need to get into the dynamics as to why he needs to put the hat on? Should I get out a dry erase board? Here's why I need the cap, son. And would anyone have done that to us or just screamed at us, put the goddamn hat on?
I thought the deal was if you're the parent, you get to tell the kid what to do. You don't have to talk the kid into it.
Well, no. We have to explain. My people need to meet with his people. A small tribunal needs to gather up. Then we break off in discussion groups. And we use an arbitrator. And then we'll, in a couple of weeks, we'll find out whether it was okay for him to put his hat on.
But he got the win on that one. You're never going to get the hat on now.
I mean, the hat, not on, unless I yell, take the hat off. In
there
which
you
case,
go.
The hat's going on.
There you go.
And number one, back to the Toyota Grand Prix. As I was climbing into my car and sitting up on the front row, not on the pole position, but in the number two position, heart beating out of my chest, sweat pouring down my face, and strapping in my harness, some chick leaned her head into my window and she said, are you scared? And I just thought, who are these people who wander around and the most sort of critical parts of life yell out inane questions that just make you either more nervous or more freaked out than you formerly were and then disappear into the night?
You weren't scared.
Wasn't scared, but who is she and why is she asking me that? And then who are all these people? Like, I'm doing an interview and someone says, Dr. Drew has four TV shows. How's that make you feel? Top of the world, bitch. Every woman I've taken a picture with has said, oh, I got to get one of these shots for my husband. He's a huge fan of the Man Show. Me, not so much. What is that thing? What about just say, hey, man, knock them dead. Good luck. Have a good time out there. And then every time I say this to someone, they go, oh, they were nervous. They were nervous. But if I met the president, I'd be nervous, but I wouldn't knee him in the balls.
Right.
Right.
I'd just stutter when I said my name.
Right.
I'm just saying, what is this thing where random people get to say horrible things to you all the time and no one really does anything?
That's life.
Yeah,
now.
Is it life?
Yeah, that's the way life works.
So your kids don't listen to you.
Correct.
And crazy blonde ladies have to freak you out before you get in your race car.
Right, that's exactly. How, awesome. That's how you live, man.
It's awesome.
AdamCarolla.com is where you want to go for all things Ace, including live shows April 28th at the John Lovitz Comedy Theater, Universal City. Tickets on sale for that, too, the Irvine Improv, May 3rd. And don't forget, not Taco Bell material. Looks hilarious. His new book available for pre-order as well. Adam, congratulations on the big win, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
By the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
All right, so I'm watching Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Josh Brolin was time for our last look at the showbiz beat for a Wednesday Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Garman steps in. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm sorry.
He's eating.
Kevin's nuts in my mouth.
You do not want to see this, people.
He's got toffee uh-huh. Cashews over there. They're delicious.
They're good.
Those are basically just to taunt Beer Mug to get him off his diet, right? That's what those are there for.
I don't think Beer Mug's interested in anything that is even partly natural.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
The nut part of it just puts him off. If it was just a vat of toffee he could stick his head into, then he might go for that. But...
Remember when he was tilting a honey bottle and just drinking
just
it straight?
Honey out of the bottle.
He drinks honey straight.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, Ralph, not to take even a minute of your precious show.
I got plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Since you mentioned Kevin's nuts,
yeah.
The listeners have really come through with the Photoshop challenge of Kevin passed out in the tent or whatever it was at Coachella. You know, we did that whole gallery yeah. of 30 Photoshops yesterday.
Yeah, enough well, now, enough.
No,
there's
not
another
enough.
Gallery up today of like another 30.
Where yeah.
The situations that people have put Kevin's lifeless corpse in these photos are hilarious. Please go to KROQ.com. Or KevinDB.com right now and check it out. You will laugh, I promise.
They are hysterical. him in the car next to Tupac and the SUV. It's amazing.
She said, Bean, she got Chip, who you should send him to, Chip at K-Rock. said she got all of these yesterday.
Wow.
In one day.
Yeah. People are loving it.
People have a lot of time and are good at Photoshop, and I look like an idiot in every one of them. So, hey, F you all.
It's not your fault, man. You're asleep.
You laying on Gillionaire's car when he's singing I'm the Best. You're laying on the hood of his car. I mean, it's just some great, great stuff out there. Very creative. And, like, really good Photoshop work, too. I mean, these pictures look very authentic.
There's one of me the size of a baby in Bean's lap.
That one's a little creepy.
Yeah, that's way that creepy. Yeah.
But, no, keep sending them in. We like them.
We're done.
We'll keep putting them up as long as people keep
sending
them.
We're good, actually. I think we've got two good galleries out of it.
This could go on for years and years and years. This could be an endless. We could do a big gallery opening.
Can I put up another picture for you to use? Or does
no,
it have
this
to
is
be,
good.
It has to be that one.
Well, this one is representative of the Kevin we know and love.
That's right.
How dare you.
Disney talking about taking another one of their rides and turning it into a movie. Of course, Pirates of the Caribbean was a smash hit for Disney. I know they're working on the Haunted Mansion as well. That's in the works. Now, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
I haven't been on that in, I don't know, my life.
It was one of the original rides at both Disneyland and Disney World.
But what's the theme, or how might they make a movie?
Well, I talked about this earlier this morning. I mocked the fact that this same story talks about they might take the ride 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and turn that into a movie. To which I scoffed and said, look, that is a famous book by Jules Verne. It was a book well before it was a ride, then it was a movie, then it was a ride.
Right.
Turns out Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was also from a book, The Wind and the Willows.
Okay.
Famous children's book. That's where Mr. Toad comes from.
And what does Mr. Toad do in this story? Because
he gives you such a ride.
Is that right?
You can't even...
Is that the one that just spins
you
around?
Hold onto your hat because it is a wild, wild ride.
It's right there in the title.
How does that make a movie?
I'm confused.
My question for you.
But the guy who did Tron Legacy is apparently going to make the ride into the movie. So I'm guessing Mr. Toad will have a light cycle.
I don't think he has to use the same props.
And he'll have a disc that he throws around. So.
I don't think that's going to be the same thing. Be cool.
Gerard Butler's got a new movie in the works. It's called Manhunt. It's about a team of FBI agents who are sent to North Carolina to hunt a man.
The FBI!
That's well named.
Manhunt. Here's the thing. He's like a Unabomber. He's like a lone nut, kind of a survivalist.
Like Bean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he turns the tides and starts hunting them once they get out into the wilderness.
Oh, no. And now they're in his land.
Then he shoots his kitten three times in the head.
He didn't. He
kills his cat. Isn't that what the survivalists do?
I'm confused. So. Yeah,
survival kitty?
Survival kitty, yeah. Then the FBI's got to get a bunch of bear hunters that are also out there to help them trap the man who's hunting them.
Is
turning
this
the
same
tables.
Movie?
Same movie.
Okay, because I'm lost.
There's a lot of twists and turns. Then there's a banjo guy, and then some guy has to squeal like a pig. That's all I know.
Wee!
Hey, you know our favorite people, the million moms, the 1 million moms?
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who said that JCPenney had to fire Ellen DeGeneres because she was gay?
Yes, F no, them.
It's an offshoot of the Parents Television Council, the 1 million moms.
But they lost because to, what was it, JCPenney's credit... They stepped up and said, you know what? We're going to run them.
They didn't even acknowledge them. They didn't even ignore them. They just ignored them and just
finally
kept rocking with Ellen DeGeneres.
Those people should be ignored.
Now they have a new problem.
Now it's Urban Outfitters.
All right, Urban Outfitters, you should ignore them.
On the latest Urban Outfitters catalog on page 2.
Really? Yes.
There is a woman kissing another woman.
Yeah!
Fantastic.
In something the 1 million moms is calling a face-holding embrace. They're encouraging moms to throw out your teen's Urban Outfitters catalog and unsubscribe from future mailings, as well as let the store know how you feel.
It ain't natural!
Because a scientist has proven, if you see a photo of two women kissing,
that's true.
You become a lesbian.
That's true. That's science.
Can't take that risk.
I don't generally take a look at the Urban Outfitters catalog, but is it possible that this picture of these attractive women kissing is specifically for this purpose, is to get somebody riled up so they can get a lot of free publicity out of it?
Urban Outfitters...
Do they always show pictures of people kissing in their catalog?
They're on the edge. Urban Outfitters is sort of a hip, sexy, grimy, sexy sort of
So hopefully they'll ignore this group.
Yeah, they probably will.
Good.
Although, interestingly enough, the CEO of Urban Outfitters is a huge supporter of Rick Santorum.
Really?
In fact, he pulled a pro-gay marriage t-shirt from his own store once he became aware of it.
pro-gay marriage t-shirt.
Right.
Okay.
He's like a GOP guy who heard about that and pulled it from his own store. So, actually, they could get this guy's attention, the guy who runs Urban Outfitters. It turns out that he's sort of more conservative than his store would lead you to believe. So, we'll be following this story just to see what happens. And while we're talking about showbiz and politics, Ted Nugent...
What a dumbass.
...apparently said if President Barack Obama is reelected, that Ted would be dead or in jail by this time next year, leading us all to infer that he would act in some inappropriate way towards the president.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
That's Ted there. He drew the Secret Service's scrutiny, apparently, with those comments, who are looking into what he said in a radio interview, along with the fact that he compared Obama and his administration to coyotes in varmints that needed to be shot.
Wow.
And encouraging voters to chop the heads off Democrats in November.
Look, he's a super smart guy and knows how to use the media. What's wrong with him? Why is he so going so far afield this time?
I think someone somewhere stopped talking about him.
He's crazy.
Now he fixed that. Now we're all talking about Ted.
As soon as the Secret Service pays their bill in Colombia, they will be at his door.
No kidding. As soon as they finish with this last hooker, they'll be right on this.
It's over for him.
Apparently the FBI is looking for Ted, but he's turning the tables and starting to hunt them, so they have to get bear hunters to help them track down.
That's a movie you were just talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not the same.
The FBI!
Stop saying the FBI.
It starts to blur together for me. Why do you want me to stop saying the FBI?
Because he keeps
playing. The FBI! Oh,
now I understand.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is James Woods, very talented actor, who was in the Rockford Files, by the way, Kevin. I don't know if you watched that show or not.
Didn't, no.
He is 65 years old today. Rick Moranis celebrates his 59th birthday. If you're not a fan of, if you are a fan of comedy and you've never seen Second City TV, SCTV, you owe it to yourself to check it out. Rick Moranis, you may know him from the Honey, I Shrunk the Kid movies and stuff like that. But
I think that's the only place.
Ghostbusters, you know from Ghostbusters too. But he was great on that TV show. Eric Roberts is 56 years old.
Eric.
Conan O'Brien is 49.
Conan.
Eric McCormick is 49 years old. Maria Bello is 45 years old today. Wasn't she just in a TV series where she played an FBI agent, Maria Bello?
Oh,
wasn't she?
Why would you do that?
The FBI!
I just can't remember. Writer-director Eli Roth is 40 years old today.
White meat. Dark meat. All will be carved.
Thanksgiving, the movie.
Oh, I want to see that so bad.
We all do. Melissa Joan Hart is 36 years old. Kourtney Kardashian, probably the least offensive of all the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think so. Except for who she married to.
Yeah.
She's married to that jackass.
Scott Disick.
Yeah.
She is 33 years old. America Ferrera from Ugly Betty is 28. And Rosie Huntington-Whiteley celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dr. Drew on the program, so we can ask him about that tube-down-the-nose diet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he'll be in favor of it.
Drew, by the way, I understand, danced on Dancing with the Stars this week. Did anyone hear about that?
What the what?
No, we don't watch that
show. Yes. I saw a bunch of chatter about this on the internet. We have to do some research on this and find out if this is true. But apparently, yes, he was a guest dancer on Dancing with the Stars, I'm told.
Well, he was trying to appear on the only television show he hasn't been on yet. So
probably wasn't even invited. He probably just ran out on the stage.
He's like Waldo. He's just starting to show up in the background of various TV shows just to be on them.
How dare you?
Paul F. Tompkins, I was starting to say, will be in the studio tomorrow. We have a brand new internet roundup. Bean insists we have Mensa members that are listening to our show. I suggest if they're Mensa members, they would not be listening.
No way!
That's what I thought.
They're on KCRW. They're enjoying this American life.
Just because they're smart doesn't mean they aren't also emotionally retarded, though. They could still listen to our little dog and pony show. Come on.
I doubt it.
Bean speaks from...
We'll find out.
From experience.
Brand new internet roundup, and we have John Bones Jones.
Oh, Bones.
Light heavyweight champ of the world. Talking about UFC 145.
It,
and we've got more tickets for you for this weekend's Coachella on tomorrow morning's Kevin.